Excuse us.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Sorry.
Move it, asshole.
Oh, thank God. We got good seats.
Damn right we did. What's up? We got the drinks.
We got the popcorn.
And the candy.
I think we're ready, man.
Hey, guys. Sorry I'm late. The bathroom here is nuts.
Oh, my God. You made it. Yay.
It's about time, Nathan. Damn.
Shh. The movie's starting.
I'm Bonesaw McGraw, and I'm going to take Spider-Man in the ring, and I'm going to crush him. Ooh, I'm going to smash him. I'm going to make him beg for his mommy, and I can't do this voice anymore. I'm Mally Moore.
I'm Nathan Simmons, and I want pictures of Spider-Man.
And I'm something of a scientist myself, and this is the Severed Lotties Playlist, a podcast where we take movies back to formula.
Back to formula?
Ooh. Speaking of back to formula, guys, we're going all the way back to Spider-Man, like one of the first big true superhero movies.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we're going back to formula, to which it's only us three.
Yeah. We're like half of a Sinister Six, right?
Yeah.
The Jaded Three. Spider-Man versus the Jaded Three.
Okay, wait. So who's who? I think I would probably be Scorpion.
Mm-hmm. I am Kraven the Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, which version of the Sinister Six are we going with here?
I guess that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mally's definitely Rhino, no matter what version we do.
But specifically the Paul Giamatti version. And we just have a mysterious gentleman trying to put us all together.
God damn it.
Oh, boy. Well, we're actually talking about a good Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yeah.
And not those. So we're talking about 2002's Spider-Man. Nathan, this was your pick.
Yeah.
And I have to assume it has something to do with the fact that we're on the eve of another, what is this, the eighth, ninth Spider-Man movie?
Something like that. I mean, if you count...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yep,
yeah.
8.
Yeah. If you count Spider-Verse or... Or the Venom films.
We don't count the Venom films.
We never count the Venom films for anything.
Venom. Oh, yeah. I am.
Like a turd.
I'm so excited. I'm giggly because one, we're talking about one of my favorite talkies.
When the fuck are you not giggly?
I know, but
of the Jaded Three, you're the bubbly one.
That's true. Yeah, I'm the cute one.
Wait a minute.
I'm Bubbles.
Mally is definitely Buttercup.
Yes. Yep.
Without question. So I guess that makes me Blossom.
1000%. Yeah.
That kind of fit nicely, actually, now that I think about
it. Yeah, that was good. JT's Professor Utonium when he shows up. Yeah.
So who's Mojo?
I feel like, no, JT is Mojo.
You're right.
Oh, I guess that makes Moss Professor X.
Actually, all of our guests are Mojo.
Mm. Yes.
Sorry, Jenny.
Wait. Yeah, Professor Utonium, sorry. What am I thinking of?
It's fine. It's fine. I understand.
Yeah, you said Professor X, and I was just going to let it slide.
Different franchise, bro.
Yeah. Speaking of franchises, this movie.
Honestly, I was trying to figure out, I had one spot that kept changing on the schedule, and mm-hmm. The first teaser for No Way Home came out,
mm-hmm.
I was like, man, you know what? I should rewatch those movies. So I ordered the trilogy set on Blu-ray, and I was just like, fuck. Like it genuinely, and we'll get into it, but like revisiting this movie made me so happy and also sad at the same time because mm-hmm. boys, and this is such a boomer thing for me to say.
Oh God.
They don't make them like this anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You're not. Yeah.
This is so colorful.
Although retroactively, they need to change the name of this movie to Spider Meme because damn.
Oh, that was the other thing. Rewatching this movie in 2021 when like every second of this film has been gift
mm-hmm.
or turned into like some kind of meme format. Yeah, I had to beat the memes off with a stick to finish this movie.
Yeah, no, I was very excited to rewatch this when you put it on the schedule. I watched it on a plane.
Yeah.
And boy,
it's a good plane movie.
It is a great plane. I was so fucking in on this movie, dude.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, Willem Dafoe is going for it.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
He is not even chewing the scenery. He's just like, what's that painting of the guy eating his own kid?
Wait.
dude, he is like, it's such good casting because he just straight up looks like a goblin.
He does.
Yes.
The mask looks like his face.
It's nuts that like... He wasn't even like their fourth choice for this.
Yeah.
But he like campaigned hard for this part.
It's good, dude. And not for nothing either, but the Sam Raimi of it all. He slides in like butter for that.
I don't like the phrase slides in like butter.
Well, he does.
You don't like the visualization of Willem Dafoe sliding into Sam Raimi with butter?
Sam Raimi's Slider Man.
Slider Man. His visual style is so interesting. He's bringing back like some of his bag of tricks from Darkman on this one. Mm-hmm. There's some Evil Dead as hell, like zooms, like there's some fun, and he goes even more buck wild in the second one.
Yeah,
that's why I'm excited that he's basically doing with Doctor Strange 2 Marvel's first horror film.
Yes,
we'll see.
I have high hopes for that movie, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. It's hard for an auteur to get their voice heard in a Marvel framework.
Yeah,
but
I feel like the closest we got was Ragnarok.
Yeah.
With like truly letting a director shine.
Hopefully we'll get, you know, it'll air more on that side of just like, okay, well, this guy clearly knows what he's doing because
it's fucking Sam Raimi.
two of the greatest, one of my favorite directors, like hands down. Mm-hmm. Even when Raimi's bad, he's fun. Mm-hmm. Like I love him.
Like probably four of the best horror movies ever, mm-hmm. and two of the best superhero movies ever.
Yeah,
at least
for sure.
So yeah, pretty good track record. But yeah, Spider-Man 2002. We're going all the way back. I think this was genuinely like the first like big movie that I can remember seeing. Like other than like, I guess maybe I should rephrase it to like the aughts. You know, like mm-hmm. this was like the first big CG movie that I could remember. Like seeing him, especially those last few minutes of like just swinging around the city. I'm like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah, it took the framework that, you know, I mean, X-Men had come out previously. And so it was like that was kind of between X-Men and Blade.
Yeah. Blade is the movie that saved Marvel. Yeah. Literally.
Oh, yes.
1000%.
Literally saved Marvel.
Blade is like the first true R-rated superhero movie. And then X-Men was like the stepping stone to get to the foundation of the quintessential first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spider-Man perfected it.
And people are like, yeah, oh, we can do superhero films now. And,
yeah.
But even then, X-Men was like a little bit, you know, camera shy. You know what I mean? Like they're not in superhero outfits. Mm-hmm. They're in black, you know, tactical gear,
mm-hmm.
and everything has to, you can't say the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. We have to just call them the Brotherhood. And like, you know, just, we have to do these, you know, these ways of kind of like softening the edges. And Spider-Man comes along and Sam Raimi says, why not put him in fucking spandex?
Yeah.
Why not get Willem Dafoe in a fucking Power Rangers costume?
Oh my God.
Let's do this.
Well, because you got, you know, Nolan's Batman Begins mm-hmm. comes after this, and you got X-Men before it. And this movie is like doing its own thing, but also, like I said, taking the stepping stones of X-Men and bridging the gap between that and like a Batman Begins.
Sure.
And like showing you like, this is the alternate path we could have taken, you know? Like we could have these bright, colorful superhero movies where mm-hmm. we're not just draft. Like, I guess that's the big difference between Marvel and DC anyways.
Yes.
DC is much more shy on the color palette.
Well, and DC's more earnest.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of the key to their comics also, is that the thing about Marvel is that all the heroes are very aspirational, but they're also very much, they're people.
Mm-hmm.
They're human beings with the same problems we have.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man caught on with people because he was an angry 15-year-old mm-hmm. in the 60s, you know, growing up during the counterculture era.
Yeah.
And with DC characters, they're very much gods.
Yeah.
They're these archetypes.
Yeah.
And for better or worse, the movies have kind of latched on to that. I think the best Marvel movies are the ones that kind of have that aw shucks can do spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie resonated so much because it's so relatable, because we all looked 30 in our senior year of high school.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I had 5 o'clock shadow at my graduation.
It is insane when you watch this movie and you're just like, we were really supposed to believe that Joe Manganiello was
Holy
a child.
Shit. I was just about to say that.
See, that's why I love watching movies from this time period, because he pops up in everything from this time period.
It took me forever to, I was like, I know this guy. Who the fuck is this guy? And then
it
clicked and I was like, get the fuck out of here.
My girlfriend goes, is that Deathstroke?
Yeah.
Well, another thing too that I think really solidified this movie, because this was huge at the time, was this came out right after 9/11.
Oh, sure.
We needed an uplifting, I mean, there's the whole point, there's scenes in all these Sam Raimi movies of like, New York is just as much a character as Spider-Man. Like,
oh yeah.
You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Like that hit.
Which I think was added in a reshoot.
It would make sense. Well, they took the Twin Towers out of like the posters and stuff.
Well, there was the original teaser for the film was basically a short film where Spider-Man doesn't appear until the last second.
Yeah.
And he like webs up a helicopter between the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And that has been scrubbed from It's never been put out on any home video release.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that trailer in the theaters and thinking, oh, shit, they've done it. They cracked the code.
Spider-Man was probably involved with 9/11, if we're being honest.
Absolutely he was.
Well, you know, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
It was Spider-Man and Dick Cheney.
Spider-Man, I knew you and Osama were in this together.
Oh, Dick Cheney and J. Jonah Jameson surely share a lot of the same DNA, I would think.
We'll get to J. Jonah Jameson and why...
He's a menace!
I think this movie...
Inspired Alex Jones?
This movie has one of my favorite J. Jonah Jameson moments in any media.
Mm-hmm. This movie has horse dewormer all over it.
He did his own research.
He did.
Yeah. So this movie just hits at the right perfect time, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, it kind of revolutionized. It, much like how Jurassic Park did, like practical mixed with CG. This had fully CG Tobey Maguire swinging around a city. And I mean, it's shoddy in a lot of parts, but there are some parts where I'm like, this genuinely still holds up.
And again, they're not putting him in shadow, which is like a really easy trick with, you know, with CGI. They're putting him in the broad daylight, mm-hmm. swinging around, you know, open spaces. And some of it has a little bit of a video gamey aspect to it, but mm-hmm. I think it's aged a lot better than other movies of this time period that pulled similar effects.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think the only really rough parts to me are the goblin glider scenes.
Yeah.
Those look a little rough.
There's a couple of shots in the World's Fair that's a little funky.
Yes.
Well, him also, when he first like realizes he has his superpowers and he's just leaping from rooftop to rooftop.
Oh, sure.
Definitely looks real bad.
Oh, yeah. His body is bending in some weird ways.
He looks like he stepped out of Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
He does look like he's out of Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
he's dressed like Claude Speed from GTA 3.
But anyways, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I don't think we actually really said it. This is the Silver Linings Playlist. We are a podcast that takes movies such as Spider-Man that may have a little bit of a dour ending to them. And we try to find the silver lining for the characters at the end of it. So this movie ends pretty sadly. Like, you know, Green Goblin's dead. Kirsten Dunst confesses her love to Tobey Maguire. And he says no, which was, even though I've seen this movie 1,000 times on this rewatch, I was still like, like shocked at the end. I was like, wow, the character growth in this one movie. Like,
and each of these Raimi films have an ending that's not quite pleasing.
Yeah.
Like they don't go for crowd pleasing endings, which is a big thing from the.
Yeah. The second one, when it's just like
that ominous shot of her,
that shot of her smile fading. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is not good.
Which is very true to Stan Lee and Steve Ditko's original Spider-Man books. Like, things didn't work out for Pete because he was always putting his responsibilities before himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he wouldn't even stand up for himself in school. There would literally be stories that would end with him thinking like, I could fucking kill Flash if I wanted to, and I won't. You know, like, it's there's a darkness to that character in those, especially in those early days.
Absolutely. And it's like I said, it's really a shame that the third one just had too much meddling and too much like high expectations and everything, because there is stuff in that third one that is good, but it is a lot of bad. So
you don't like the scene where they do the twist?
Emo Peter Parker is one of the most cringe things I think I've ever seen put on film, and I've seen a lot of cringe shit.
Now dig on this.
Yeah, it's rough.
Hey, look at baby goblin.
Anyways, so the goal of this podcast, as I mentioned, is we're trying to find the silver lining at the end of it. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, if you need a refresher on Spider-Man, who stars in it, how much it made, don't worry, I got you. Mm-hmm. Just get cradled in my nice little spider web and I will unravel the news for you right here.
Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
So as we mentioned, the year is 2002, and as we mentioned, this film is directed by Sam Raimi, who you may know from Evil Dead, and a whole bunch of other goodies before then. The film stars Tobey Maguire, Willem Dafoe, Kirsten Dunst, James Franco, Cliff Robertson, and Rosemary Harris. The budget, even at the time, was still crazy. $139 million to make this movie.
Incredible. Yeah.
It made $825 million.
Yeah. There's no wonder the sequel came out 2 years later and had twice the budget. Spider-Man 2 had the highest production budget of all time when it came out.
Yeah, I know.
And almost a different actor playing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
The movie currently sits at a well-deserved 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good.
And it was nominated for 2 Oscars, which was crazy at the time because it's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
But it was nominated for Best Visual Effects and for Best Sound.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait, I thought we were going to say that together.
No, on The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
The sound in this movie is great.
I'm surprised RogerEbert.com doesn't list Macho Man Randy Savage.
That is shocking.
That is upsetting that they don't list him. Well, guys, we talked about the teaser trailer earlier.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the actual trailer in maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably since this movie came out, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm expecting lots of white flashes.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's an action trailer from the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess that's a good point. We should talk about what we expect.
I can be your hero, baby.
I was just about to say either that or Dashboard Confessional, maybe in here.
Well, no, Dashboard's in the second one.
Yeah.
This one was Josie Scott and Chad Kroger.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
In this sea that a hero could save us.
Oh, it's in the credits. Don't be mistaken. This shit plays all over the credits.
Yeah. That was maybe one of the best impressions you've ever done.
I'm so high. That's the first line.
I'm expecting lots of VO.
Yeah.
Lots of fade to blacks.
I forgot the fucking movie had VO. I was very taken back at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
But not a lot. Not a lot of VO. It's open and closed.
Just at the beginning and end.
Some of the flattest VO this side of Blade Runner, though, I will
yes.
say.
Yes, but I will say I'd like the VO as it is.
I agree.
I wish it was a little bit more of a performance into it, yeah. But I also forgive it because I'm sure Tobey Maguire was like, guys, I'm fucking tired from making this movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's see if our predictions are correct on this trailer.
I'm so high.
Who am I?
Oh, there's your white flash already.
Hey. 2 seconds in. 2 seconds in.
Oh, two of them. Holy shit.
Guy, not a care in the world. Somebody lied.
3.
That's a different read from the film, too. Oh, yeah, it's some techno.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like this. There was a time when life was a lot less complicated. Can I take your picture for the school paper?
Sure. In this lab, we have 15 genetically
enhanced. This is the Flasherman trailer.
Spiders. There's 14. One's missing.
Yeah.
Peter, are you all right?
Peter loves Massive Attack.
Pete, look, you're changing. I know, I went through exactly the same thing at your age.
No, not exactly.
Wow.
What a weird cut.
Peter, may I introduce my father, Norman Osborn?
Is this your father? Easy, sir.
Harry tells me you're quite the science whiz. You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
God, so many white flashes.
Also shots that are reversed from the way they're in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what the hell is with MJ's outfit in that scene?
It's like the cultural fair, so she's wearing another culture's clothing. It's not great.
She looks stunning in that dress, though.
I'm Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Do I get to say thank you this time?
Wow. In the trailer. Okay.
This trailer rules.
This is just a bunch of shots with no context on anything.
Do too much.
You're not Superman, you know.
I will say, for an early 2000s trailer, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. And I gotta say, I love that line, the Superman line, because it reminds me, I remember watching that trailer with my dad, and he laughed so loudly, like for so, like he was just like,
"Oh no!"
Well, because we just had no, like there was nothing. Like we were living in a drought of superhero content. Like, you know, on television, all we had was Smallville. These kids are fucking spoiled these days.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the end of the sentence. These kids are fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that was the tagline for Smallville, actually.
That's right.
They're fucking.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well,
hey.
Let's talk about Spider-Man.
Let's do it.
My first note was I really enjoyed the old school Marvel logo. It was nice to not have, you know, like seeing the Hulk and Iron Man and everybody. Yeah. It was nice to just have a simple logo. And that was it. And then we're right into it.
Yeah. And I miss goofy CGI credit sequences like this. Like,
oh, this shit's straight out of the PS2.
I'd say, y'all remember credit sequences? That shit was great.
This was like this was like the Inspector Gadget movies opening credit sequence. like Spidey's like spinning around through the frame. I giggled and rewatched it like three times.
Yeah, I felt like I was playing a PS2 game. Like, it was just like, oof.
Absolutely.
I was like, I was kind of worried. I was like, oh, we're not off to a good start. Like, these opening credits.
But we do get, we also get our first listen, our first bit of Danny Elfman's score, mm-hmm. which
is amazing. I love it.
It's fine. I think when he doesn't lean into like the choral bits, I really like it.
I think the choral bit at the very end of the movie when he's swinging through the city and it's just operatic is incredible.
That's good.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's just some of it feels very much like, hey, you guys, remember I did Batman?
Yeah, a little bit. There is a little bit of that. But I also like the very like soft horns that he does, like when he's at when they're at the cemetery.
Oh, I love that shit.
Yeah, that stuff's good.
Yeah, and all the goblin stuff is good. Yeah. Like all of the goblin pieces are very good.
No, there's so much going on in this first few minutes of this movie that are iconic as fuck. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got the font, the font choice for Spider-Man was so incredible.
Speaking of PlayStation 2.
I was going to say, even PlayStation uses it. You've got Danny Elfman's score, which is iconic. Mm-hmm. You even got the first lines of the movie, which is, you know, the who am I? Are you sure you want to know?
Like, sure.
It rules. It's a fucking fantastic, because we start off the movie right into the shit. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, Peter's already telling you, hey, some shit's about to happen. You know, you don't even want to know the story.
You might not even think I'm a good person by the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut immediately to a bus driver giggling as he leaves a child behind, which I'm sure Mally enjoyed.
Yep.
Yes. How often did y'all miss the fucking bus, like, as a kid?
Never.
Never.
I think I missed it once because I overslept.
Yeah.
Like, my dad overslept or something like that. But,
But that's fair. And then if you, you know, put it this way, I would never chase after a bus. Absolutely not. I guess I missed it.
Like, guess I'm not going to school. Dope.
Exactly.
And then Mary Jane says something like, he's been following us for, like, three blocks or something.
Like, why are you just now saying something?
Well, that means either there's three green lights that this bus driver just been lucky enough to go through in New York.
Yeah.
Or Peter's like getting there, stopping at the red light, banging on the door, the bus driver just not letting him in, and then going at the green.
But he really is, like, from the word go, he is Stan Lee and Steve Ditko's Peter Parker. He's like got all this internalized awkward rage. He can't win. Like, he literally like just has the worst luck, and he was about to miss out on this insane field trip.
Yeah. Actually, I got a question. Who did it better in terms of a person trying to catch up to a bus and the bus driver just giggling while not letting them on? This or Speed?
Oh, sure.
I was going to say this or Tommy Boy.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think Tommy Boy might take the cake.
Tommy Boy wins.
Yeah.
Tommy Boy wins.
Tommy Boy wins, for sure.
They're basically this. I mean, let's be honest. This and Tommy Boy, basically the same movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much equal. It's hard to decipher the differences, if we're being real.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Could you imagine David Spade as the Green Goblin?
Chris Farley as Spider-Man? That would have been fucking incredible.
Yeah. 100%. I'm obsessed with the line delivery of their chaperone.
Mm-hmm. The next person who talks will fail this course. I kid you not.
Like, he has like the weirdest line delivery. It was very strange.
Also, again, going back to how old these kids look, the teacher is the youngest looking of the group.
Yes. Yes.
The teacher looks like he's 21.
I wrote down, I was like, my notes are like, oh yes, the early aughts where 26-year-olds were in high school.
Right.
And I actually have a lot of notes before we even get to the field trip. First of all, when Peter gets on the bus, the first person he's like, oh, maybe I can have a seat with, is a girl that looks exactly like him. And she's like, you can't sit here, you fucking nerd.
Yeah.
I'm like, you look exactly the same.
Well, it's literally the scene from Forrest Gump. It's like, can't sit here.
It is. Seat's taken.
Well, this movie steals a lot. This movie steals from Speed. It steals from Forrest Gump. Sure. We're getting all kinds of stuff here.
I'm sure, let's be honest, this movie stole something from Halloween 6.
Probably.
Guaranteed.
It probably inspired Rise of Skywalker a lot.
Guaranteed.
I have three questions I want to get in before we get actually to like going on this movie.
Sure.
Because we've had a couple different people now portray the character. So I want to know what your guys' thoughts on. Number one, who's your favorite Spider-Man?
Ooh.
Number two, who's your favorite Peter Parker?
Mm.
And the most important question of all, number three, who's your favorite member of the Pussy Posse?
I got to look up that guy's name. Hang on, actually.
So Toby, and Toby are my answers.
Well, okay, favorite Peter Parker. God, I think
I actually have my answer if you need time.
Yeah, go for it.
My favorite Spider-Man is Tom Holland.
Yeah.
My favorite Peter Parker is actually Tobey Maguire, and then I guess Leo mm-hmm. for the Pussy Posse. We can drop the last question. That doesn't have to be an actual question.
I really like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. He's got the quips.
He does have the quips.
I wish he was in better movies.
Yes.
But I actually think the Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit is maybe the best looking suit we've gotten in live action.
I do like that suit a lot.
See, I like this suit as my favorite. Like,
it's really good. This one's really good.
Even when I played the PS4 game,
sure.
As soon as I unlocked this suit, this was the only one I used.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mine for the replay.
See, my issue with this suit is, especially towards the end, you kind of see it. His eyes barely line up with the eyes of the suit.
That's true.
And it bugs the fuck out of me.
I also, my big thing has always been the actual spider on the suit. Like, yeah. Tom Holland's is too small.
Sure.
it's almost from, like, the 60s animated series. And then Andrew Garfield's is like, what if my spider legs had knives attached to them?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it. But so I like the suit.
I love the fucking moving eyes of the Holland suit,
I do
though.
Too. That is good.
Oh, that's so good.
But also, he's never in it anymore. He's in the fucking Iron Spider suit, which I don't care for.
The thing that I love about this trilogy is Spider-Man gets to keep his suit for multiple films.
Like, you don't have to keep changing everything every movie.
Yeah.
Gotta sell them toys, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's things about both characters that I think all of the actors have captured really well.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker, but I also think Andrew Garfield gets at that kind of repressed rage that I was talking about really well.
I guess my problem with Andrew Garfield is he is way too hot and too cool to be Peter Parker.
Devastatingly handsome, absolutely.
And then he's immediately with Emma Stone. I'm like, dude.
And I slide between Spider-Man 2 and Into the Spider-Verse as my favorite Spider-Man movie also.
Okay. Mal, do you have an answer?
I really do like Maguire, but I think I'm going to kind of answer one and two at the same time because I'm going for overall package.
Sure.
I do kind of have to give it to Holland.
Okay.
He's great.
Like, as the overall, and plus my big thing is they're actually leaving him in fucking high school.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing for me because I hate that we don't get the early Spider-Man in this, like, as far as like him not being a fucking 30-year-old.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because even the Amazing Spider-Man, they were like, yep, nope, he's back in high school, graduates in the second one immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they graduate in this one. So yeah, they're like, we gotta get out of high school.
Like halfway through this one, mm-hmm. they graduate. Yeah.
And it's actually kind of a nothing scene. Like, oh yeah, he graduated. Anyway.
Yeah. he commits his first murder and then he graduates.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. He straight up murders a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could argue that for sure.
Yeah, he's at the very least he is responsible for.
He's definitely responsible. I also always forget, and I think that this dude is what's his name from Law and Order? I always think it's him, and it's not him.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
No, Christopher
Randy Savage.
Oh, Christopher Maloney.
Yes, Christopher. I always think it's Christopher Maloney in like a bad wig, but it's not.
No, it's Michael Papajohn.
I was just about to say has the best name ever.
Papajohn.
He's from Panama City.
Oh shit!
Like he's like a hometown hero.
His name is his last name is Papajohn.
Oh my god.
Anyways, before we get there, we also get introduced to two other characters that are a staple of this new new trilogy. We get a complete Deviant and Predator and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, and I love that we're dealing with themes of fatherhood, like, right away. Mm-hmm. It drives a wedge between Peter and Harry in interesting ways. And I think Dafoe plays sweet, well-meaning Norman Osborn in really interesting ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I like that he's got almost like this dual personality once he becomes the Green Goblin between him. I mean, it does lend itself to some goofy-ass scenes where he's basically just doing Smeagol and Gollum.
But I love that shit. I really do.
Yeah, when it just cuts to the mask sitting on the edge of the arm of the chair, I'm like...
Attack his heart!
Avenge me! Like, the shit that's going
on. Oh my god, man, Nathan, your Green Goblin is suspiciously close to your Loomis.
Guys, I haven't seen the Green Goblin and Nathan in the same place at the same time.
And you shan't.
Nathan ain't fitting in that suit.
No. I tried to fit it. I tried to put it on and I just yelled, misery, misery, misery.
I think the casting here is phenomenal because Willem Dafoe and James Franco together, like, they do really work well together as father and son.
Yeah. Franco's bad in this.
He's bad. He's bad kind of in all of these. He's a little more campy and hammy in the second one.
Yeah.
Like when he gives it's a meme now, but the wink in the cafe while he's eating, it's good.
That's the third one, isn't it?
Is that the third one? You might be right.
Yeah, because that's when Harry becomes Mr. Celio Girl.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that third movie's real bad. Anyway, so we're on this field trip. I think it's interesting that, like, Norman says he wrote a paper, and then Peter says, yeah, I wrote a paper on your paper. I'm right. Like, what?
Yeah, on your research. Yeah. And he's like, and you understood it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he's immediately, like, enamored with this kid.
Uh-huh.
What if he was like, no, actually, my paper was just me saying, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, right.
I just doodled some stuff on it, you know?
It's very Reanimator, where he's just like, I found your work to be elementary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, actually, I just erased your, I just white-outed your name, put mine on it, turned it in. Got a C+.
Nathan, you talked about this recently where I think it was in Dead Zone, maybe,
mm-hmm.
where we talked about people learning things in class that then become relevant to them.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
I think you can apply that same kind of cliche here with every spider that they see before he gets bit is also...
has one of the abilities.
Yes. Yeah. And that means he's getting bitten by like the ultimate inbred spider that's got all of these things.
Well, it's not even that. After he gets bitten, it cuts to this screen that literally lists his new abilities.
Yes. Oh, that is maybe the most Sam Raimi shit in the movie. Like, it is the montage of the computer screens, the super spider presentation,
mm-hmm.
a CGI skull like screaming at the camera.
Oh my god, yeah, that is definitely Raimi.
Yeah.
It is Darkman as fuck. I mm-hmm. love it so much.
Which let's talk about him taking photos of MJ. He's gonna touch himself to those later, right?
Like, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's really nice.
Girls just don't give him, like, girls just don't like nice guys. Like, that's the problem. Is
that's
like,
why he has to become emo Peter Parker in the third one.
Okay, no, Nathan, we're talking about the movie, not
sorry. Yeah.
You're getting too real.
Not the other YouTube channel I run. I just hate that these movies are woke now.
Does your girlfriend know she's your girlfriend?
I would hope so. I mean, I do have to sleep under the sink.
Yeah.
But he's saying, the relationship between Peter and MJ in this is interesting because the movie kind of takes its time.
The relationship doesn't exist until she confesses his love for him at the end.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Well, okay. Well, I disagree because I also think it is so blatantly obvious that MJ is into Peter
and
he just can't see it for whatever reason.
Right. But also, she plays it so cool to the point where, like, it's 30 or 40 minutes into the movie before you realize that they're neighbors and they've lived next door to each other since they were, like, six.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has known her, and the first time he saw her, he thought she was an angel, as Aunt May says. Yeah,
very Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
a little bit.
Are you an angel? Yeah. Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned, this movie does steal a lot from other movies.
Uh-huh.
But I genuinely like their relationship in this movie. Like,
yeah, it's a little stalkery at points.
But what I'm saying is I like that Peter doesn't get the girl at the end. Like,
yes.
He can and he chooses not to.
That is yes.
It's all he wants pretty much about this whole movie.
Because he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. Like, she just wouldn't get it.
But like, when Kirsten Dunst is like telling, like, when he, well, actually I take it back, when they're in the hospital room and Aunt May And he's explaining what he told Spider-Man about her.
I love that scene so much.
It's beautiful. And then when at the end, when she's like, I love you, and he's like, I can't. Watching Kirsten Dunst's heart just break in real time is...
She's really good in that scene.
You forget how good she is in these movies.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's going above and beyond this character. And I
think almost everybody in this movie is.
I agree.
Almost all of them. Like Willem Dafoe.
Especially.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, yeah.
Most of my notes are about Willem Dafoe.
It's so funny because in my head, I always prop up Alfred Molina as the best Spider-Man villain. Mm-hmm. And then rewatching this movie, I was like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, it's really pretty close good. To me. I think Dafoe knew what these movies were going to be. And yes. That's why he like really leans into the camp.
And he's a fan of the comics, too.
Yes. Yeah. And I think Alfred Molina is great as Doc Ock, but yeah. I think he's also playing it a little more... like a little darker, like a little more Empire Strikes Back.
He's almost Shakespearean.
Yes.
Neither of them are nearly as good as fucking Eddie Brock in the third one. So.
Oh, sure. Boy. Topher Grace.
Duh. My boy Toph coming through.
Yeah, when I think Eddie Brock, first guy I think of, Topher Grace.
Yeah. Second guy, Tom Hardy.
Oh my God. They just can't seem to get that character right, can they?
What is Tom Hardy do?
What is Tom Hardy?
Is Tom Hardy a good actor?
What is Tom Hardy? That is a great question.
This is a genuine question.
Is he a good actor? Just look at him.
Just look at
you're
him.
Right. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Well, in that case.
No, I think Tom Hardy is good in the right pretense. Bronson, great.
Yeah, he is incredible in Bronson.
Venom. No, thank you.
Peaky Blinders, fucking incredible. Mm-hmm.
That's true. It's just, there's so many movies recently that Hardy's been in, or, you know, I mean, not even recently, maybe just the last decade or whatever, where the performance doesn't seem to go beyond, I'm really sweaty right now, you guys. Like, he's like a buff British Charlie Day.
Oh my God.
He is somehow, yeah, a really attractive man. Like, he's Mad Max. He's manly as fuck.
Oh, he is great in Fury Road.
And at the same time, he's a fucking dork.
I think he's got that Joseph Gordon-Levitt thing where he makes everything too difficult. For himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's like, oh, you want me to play the high-rise wire guy? Okay, well, I will learn to speak French perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to fucking do... Let's stop.
Yeah. It's like Christian Bale learning to play the drums just for that one scene in The Big Short and right. Stuff like that. It's like, you don't have to do that, man.
And in fact, we're fine if you don't.
Yeah, it's probably better if you don't.
And Christian Bale played that smart. He got the production to buy him a drum set.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Now he has a drum set.
That's fair.
He played it smart.
But yeah, so we get the scene with the Norman and the military contract and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, this Dr. Strom guy really gets the short end of the stick because yeah. He's just trying to not murder people.
Yeah.
That's all he's trying to do. And
yeah.
when he says, when Norman's like, oh, well, we can have a human trial in 2 weeks. And I'm like, holy shit, for real? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's the human trial.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really quickly for a human trial.
This movie is just all about COVID vaccines. That's all it is.
That's right. That's right.
He did his own research.
The military guy is like, I'm going to do my own research. Yeah. I love that they come in and they just immediately decide, like, fuck Norman Osborn. Like, we don't even care that he has this dope-ass glider.
The military does that and the board of directors do. They're like, this looks good. By the way, you're fired.
In a lot of ways, it's like, wow, this is how two different guys handle stress.
Yeah,
you know, Spider-Man becomes a superhero and Norman Osborn decides to turn people into skeletons.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that when we get there. But you
I
know
can't
what?
Wait.
I got to say... I'm kind of on the Green Goblin side. I know I always side with
the
villains.
They fucked him.
Yeah, the military fucked him. The board fucked him.
Yeah.
Could you imagine getting kicked out of your own company with your fucking name? Papa John deserved it when it happened to him, but can you imagine?
After you've already pumped yourself full of murderer juice.
Yeah.
Which actually, speaking of, related note, me and Nathan would really like to discuss ownership of Holy Propaganda with
you. No, you can't do this to me!
Do you know how much I've sacrificed?
Was that from the soundboard? Holy shit.
Can we talk about the Green Goblin suit real quick?
Yes.
For practical purposes, I get the suit being designed how it is. Why does the helmet gotta be look like that?
It's aerodynamics.
Is it? With the giant eyebrows and everything?
That's what I'm bullshitting.
Well, yeah, and what's worse is they built like an animatronic goblin face for him to do like full on transformations, like he does in the comics, and those they look rad.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I could see Willem Dafoe's mouth behind the mesh screening of the mouth.
It's like that shot in the Ninja Turtles movie where you see the stunt actor inside of Donatello's mouth.
It's not good. I didn't like it.
It's so upsetting. Yeah, no, I don't love that costume design, but it's also, I do appreciate that it is of a piece with the glider. Like they all have the kind of same sort of weird Art Deco edges to them.
Yeah.
And I do dig that.
Well, and I do think it fits well with Maguire's Spider-Man outfit too. Like they look good next to each other, but you're right. It is very much like a Rita Repulsa Power Rangers kind of fucking outfit.
It really is. Make my goblin grow.
Oh, the little goblin. I don't like that either.
Little goblin.
We get introduced to Rosemary Harris and Cliff Robertson. I think Rosemary Harris is.
I think so too.
A great. Yeah. I think she's a great Aunt May. Cliff Robertson's not bad as Uncle Ben.
I love Cliff Robertson.
But I mean, it certainly beats Marissa Tomei, right? Doesn't it?
It's weird that every time there's a reboot, like, how can we make Aunt May more fuckable? Is like one of the main directives.
It's going to be Ana de Armas in the next reboot. I swear to God.
That's fucking awesome.
Mally's the demographic they're trying to hit.
And it's the kid from Jojo Rabbit as Peter Parker.
Oh, that kid from Jojo Rabbit could actually be a pretty good Peter Parker in a few years. I'd buy that.
Yeah, no, like, you're pitching the fuck out of this movie right now, Nathan.
Or you know who I actually think, and that might just be because I'm a huge fan of his and I think he should be in everything. I think Jaden Martell would be a pretty good Spider-Man.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this first scene between Aunt May and Uncle Ben.
Where Ben can't do computers.
Yeah. It feels too much like a play. Like I'm watching like Fences or something. Like the way the dialogue is rolling off. Well, I'm too old to learn computers. Even the computers need analysts. How about that?
It's very death of a salesman.
Yes, like, it is very death of a salesman.
I think they're so. I think it's important to see them together.
It's
you know
cute.
What I mean? Like we don't get a whole lot of scenes with Uncle Ben that aren't, you know, Peter centric, and so it's nice to see that they're like this sweet couple that doesn't argue and. Clearly they're down on their luck and low on money and they're still just kind of like sticking it out together. And I think that's a great scene.
No, I think they're great. I think they're great together. I mean, they for casting like an aunt and uncle, I think they do well with Peter. Like I said, I think the casting of this movie is really on point.
Yeah.
But then we get Dafoe doing his Green Goblin injection. And I got to say, he's straight up stealing the ooze from Ninja Turtles 2.
He does.
And injecting it to himself.
And he gets Deadite eyes. Yes, he did. Evil Dead.
Oh, the seizure that Willem Dafoe has here.
Oh, my God. Wild.
It's both terrifying and also like, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
It's campy as shit. It is. This is very evil. I mean, I know we talk a lot about Doc Ock's surgery in Evil Dead 2 or Spider-Man 2 as being very Evil Dead, which it is.
Yeah.
This scene here is also really evil. Like,
man.
When he lunges out of the broken glass and he just kind of like crouches and goes,
like hisses. It's so good.
It's great.
Is that not how you guys wake up?
Oh, every morning. Yeah. I jump onto the foot of the bed.
That's how I get out of the shower.
I hiss at my cats.
He is fully unhinged in this movie, and it's all the better for it.
Even before the seizure, when he's being strapped into the table and he goes, oh, it's cold.
Yeah.
Like, that's so fucking funny.
Man,
it's cold.
I'm getting my booster shot here in a few weeks, and if I don't wake up the next morning just fucking ripped.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I'm gonna be pissed. Like, what if I call you guys and I'm just like, yo, so I can climb buildings now.
that's how casual it is.
God, I hate that. That shot of the barbs coming out of his fingers has fucked me up forever.
Oh, it's gross.
Like, I think it's great, but it's so creepy. It's so just like, ugh.
That's a question I have to, I mean, yeah, it is real creepy. That is a question that I know a lot of people have a problem with this movie for one particular reason, but I have no issue with it.
The organic webbing.
Yeah. I like it.
I think it makes sense from a storytelling standpoint.
Yes, for this particular story, it makes sense.
I don't like the noise they chose.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't like that the spot on his wrist where it comes out looks like a permanent cum shot.
It does. It looks like dried semen.
Hey, Green Goblin, does any of these fuckers ever burst out of my skin? I like it that it's organic because it makes sense. Because this Peter Parker is not as like
super genius
science minded. Yes, he's not as science minded as the other version, so it makes sense to make it a little more organic.
Yeah, no, he's a smart student. Mm-hmm. He's clearly like very clever and quick on his feet, but he's not like, I'm gonna build my own. And they kind of circumvented that in Amazing Spider-Man, where he stole it from Oscorp and then reverse engineered it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like cutting it out of this movie, that cuts an extra like 15 minutes that you don't have to like deal with him like putting that stuff together.
He's not Tony Stark Jr. in this version,
right?
Which he is in the new ones, basically.
Which is my biggest issue with the MCU Spider-Man is like I love Peter Parker as kind of like a lone wolf sort of, you know, wannabe kind of badass.
He's too obsessed with Tony Stark, and
he's an Avengers fanboy. Yeah,
he's Robin to Tony Hawk's
Tony Hawk's pro Iron Man.
Yeah. I would watch that movie.
Which, by the way, Spider-Man was in Tony Hawk too.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. In the fight with Flash, we get that CGI spitball.
Yeah,
gross.
Oh, the slow motion stuff is great here with the Spidey senses. It's great.
We also get that hero extra
mm-hmm.
who's in like a thousand movies. The ginger kid who's in the background of a zillion movies. He's in that shot.
Yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, well. The practical effect, too, of Peter catching all the food on the tray is apparently a real thing that took a lot of takes.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And I that's another thing, too. We don't really get spider sense that much in the MCU ones, either. Like,
no.
We get hair raising on his arms, and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's two or three moments in every movie. They're just much more subtle about it.
Yeah.
Which I actually kind of like.
Yeah, and Infinity War is the big one, which I like.
Yeah, I like that too.
One of the lines that I fucking hate in this movie, after he does the lunch tray thing, she looks at him and says, "You have blue eyes I didn't notice without your glasses."
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
The glasses are see-through.
Yeah.
You can see right through those motherfuckers.
He's not Tommy Wiseau. Like, he's not walking around in sunglasses.
Yeah, like, motherfucker's not rocking shades every day.
But also, I'm like, she gives you a layup right here, Peter. Be like, yeah, they are blue. You know what? You have nice eyes, too. How about we get a date?
Yeah.
How about that? Like, and he's just like, fumbles the bag real hard.
Wow. Is that how you got Priscilla? You were just like, how about we get a date?
Hey, what's going on? Look at those eyes.
Hey.
Those are some green eyes of yours. Hey, let's go. What do you say?
And then he just straight up pulled it out, just put it on the table.
I'm Dustin Goes to Hollywood. How about I goes to your place tonight around 8?
Yeah. Yeah, guys, it's a tried and true formula.
I always forget Dustin's from New York.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey.
You go on a date with one of us, you go on a date with all of us.
You want to get to him, you got to go through me.
Hey. Whoa.
Careful with him. He's a hero. That's when we're all passing him over us in the train car.
Yeah.
I'm not picking Dustin up. No fucking way.
I have a bone to pick, too. In terms of movie tropes, this happens all the time in movies, too, and it happens here. When he has the fight, quote-unquote, with Flash Thompson, and he just kind of shoves him and he flies across the hall.
Yeah.
And all the kids see that he just did, like, a triple bag flip.
That flip is insane.
Yeah. And, like, did all this, and they're just like, wow, what a freak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would not be your response in reality. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Holy shit.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, if he did that here in Georgia, they'd probably be like, shoot him.
Yeah, burn him alive.
That's right. Take him to the... Yeah, that's right.
It cuts to Tobey Maguire, Ted Levine style, and Hills Have Eyes, just on a fucking cross, just burning.
Oh, Jesus.
So after that fight, this man goes from, like, learning about his webs to fucking jumping off buildings in about 2.5 seconds.
But I kind of like it, because the scene of him climbing the wall and him, like, getting up just a few feet and looking down and be like, holy shit. And then it just cuts to him leaping across rooftops.
And the implication is that he spent, like, 6 hours doing this. Like, and I love that. The scene of him trying to figure out how to shoot his webs still works for me. I think it's so funny.
But he does, all the different hand shapes. It's such a Sam Raimi type of thing, but it's so good.
Up, up, and away web.
Yeah.
That's what Nathan screams as he's orgasming.
I knew it was coming. Yep. I knew it was coming.
That's what everyone around me screams. I knew it was coming.
Oh, everyone else on the train?
But then you get, actually, what I think is a good, like, superhero learning his superpowers, when he tries to go across the street First of all, nobody sees it, even though the wide shot is like, oh, they would clearly see that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going, oh, across the street.
Yeah.
And then, of course, just slamming into the side of the billboard, which I think is great.
Into a billboard that says traffic is fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, no, it's not.
I think that's great. I like Danny Elfman's score every time he puts a hand on the wall. It's like, brump. Brump, as he's like climbing it.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I think that's good.
Yeah, those horn hits.
Yeah.
No, I love those elements of it. It's just to me, there's some bits, especially in the action scenes, that just feel very Batman to me.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's also Danny Elfman, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's scored more films than me.
Yeah. Damn, big if true.
And also, speaking of Batman, it does kind of get a little 60s Batman during the fight scenes. Like, pow, pow.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that shit.
But it's for a modern audience, for sure. Then, we get a real creepy line from Peter when he says, but also a really funny line where he's like, oh, you're a great actress. I cried like a baby when you were in Cinderella. And she was like, Peter, that was the first grade.
I think that's a sweet moment.
It's sweet, but it's also like, oh, come on, dude.
All I kept thinking about during this scene is Hot Rod. He takes the trash out. This is the, you look shitty, Denise, scene.
Yep. I also think it's pretty apt that Flash Thompson gets a prowler as a birthday gift. Because he seems like a creep.
Yeah.
So that's about right.
Yeah.
Then we get the fucking costume drawing montage.
Oh, yeah. With Phil Jimenez artwork. Like, they got actual, like, Marvel artists.
But before we get that, though, we do get a newspaper wipe to a new scene, which I was like, wow. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But I love this montage of him coming up with the suit. I think it's great. It's equal parts campy and equal parts just fucking lit.
Needs more color.
Yeah.
I'm such a huge fan of these kind of montages in movies like this and like Dick Tracy, anything that's like, we'll throw a newspaper at the screen or, show like the passage of time in very dynamic and fun, goofy ways. I also love the through line of him going through the sales papers and downgrading his prospects for a car until it's like old beaters. Which is also very much like Hot Rod. That you know what car is really overrated?
Corvette. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the car Flash Thompson was driving?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
We've all done that with cars, clothing, women,
guys. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know who'd be a really good Spider-Man?
Yorma?
Yes, Yorma.
Oh my god.
You're right.
And I just want to see him in his pajamas when he's singing to his stuffed animals. I want that as my Spider-Man.
She looked me in the face and I webbed in my pants.
Hey, Harry, I'm sorry I killed your dad. Cool beans.
Yeah. Well, you know what would be good is like Spider-Man gets beat the shit out of and he's always flying into walls and buildings and shit. It's like, what if that's just what happens to Spider-Man? Like, that's where you start the movie. He's been Spider-Man for years. Mm-hmm. He's had a lot of brain damage over the years.
Oh, my God.
Just a lot of head injuries because he refuses to wear a helmet.
And that's that's the opening scene. It's just him singing to a stuffed animal in his pajamas. I like this idea for a movie. Let's get the Lonely Island on the phone. Let's do it.
Pete decides to go wrestle for some money.
Well, and then we get maybe the most relatable line ever.
Uh-oh.
And it's Uncle Ben referring to driving Peter downtown as exercise.
Sure.
And it's like, man, Ben, I get it.
In that little montage of him trying to learn how to use his webs and everything, and he breaks his lamp and like shoots the Dr. Pepper can and stuff. I think Aunt May may be going blind because there's no way she would not see all of those spider webs all over his bedroom when she peeks in.
Sure.
I mean, she was a teenager once. She's like, oh, it's just Simon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also like Uncle Ben being like, yeah, that's just teenagers. They're going through puberty.
Raging hormones.
Yeah, he's breaking lamps and shit.
He's breaking lamps. He's running on the walls.
Yeah, yeah. For real, get your dirty ass shoes off my freshly. We were supposed to paint these walls, you piece of shit.
Hey, Picasso.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, Uncle Ben's car is Sam Raimi's Oldsmobile, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
In all his movies, yeah.
That made me very happy.
That's great. But also, now that I'm thinking about it, do they think that he broke the lamp with his dick? If they're like, yeah, the lamp broke and his hormones are crazy.
That's how hard he was.
Yeah.
That's just one of the side effects. That's what wasn't listed on the screen was incredibly durable dick.
Can we talk about Uncle Ben's hair?
Yeah. We can talk about it.
Go for it.
Why is it only gray at the very front?
I don't know, man.
Like, did they not plan on shooting him in profile?
Oh, no, that's when you hit, like older ages, it starts in the front and just works its way towards the back.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's why, like, your face starts to, like, gravity starts to pull you down towards hell in the front before it gets to the back. And that's when you get the hunchback and all that. It starts in the front and works in the back.
Wait, is that why most of my gray hair is in my mustache?
Yeah. Did you not read my research paper on that?
I wrote my own paper.
I just erased your name and turned it in.
Oh, okay.
Right. But, like, a couple years before this, Cliff Robertson played the president in Escape from LA, and he was starting to get like that gray just in the front. It's pretty wild. He grayed like Steven Toast.
Well, and then like some people, like another Marvel movie, you got Richard Madden in the Eternals, who just has like the perfect gray swoop in his hair.
That is how I hope my hair starts to turn gray.
Bro, how is that natural?
Well, you know what I want? It's never going to happen, but I hope I age into my gray hair how Timothy Olyphant was in The Mandalorian.
Oh, I wish.
I'm like, this is how I need to go.
Okay, you trying to age like Clooney.
I'm trying to age fuckable is what I'm trying to
age. Right, and I'm going to end up looking like the fucking calendar man. it's not going to go well for me.
I'm going to be like Nick Nolte's character from The Mandalorian instead.
God. I have spoken.
Yeah, I have spoken.
Nathan loses all of his hair and turns out he has a fucking calendar tattoo under it the whole time.
I do, yeah.
I was wondering why you knew every single holiday, like, and you would just text me, like, hey, by the way, Happy Arbor Day. And I'm like, that's weird.
You'll find the body.
I don't know, like, this motherfucker texted me the other day, like, hey, Happy Veterans Day. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So we get one of the best quotes of any movie ever that got ran into the ground and parodied to death, but it's with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And the way he delivers that line, it's a chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, I think I remember this scene between Ben and Peter the last time they see each other being like really more tense and angry. And I'm like, I mean, the worst thing is that Peter being like, oh, yeah, you're not my dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that is rude and it's heartbreaking. But
I mean, like watching this scene now that I'm older, I'm like,
yeah,
Peter's being a little bitch about it right now.
Yeah. He's brushing him off real hard. Yeah. And that's a thing. To me, the trick with this kind of thing, I feel the same way about whenever we see in a comic book or a movie a flashback to Bruce Wayne, like arguing with his parents. Mm-hmm. I think the trick has to be that their relationship is perfect until this happens. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. this destroys everything. But I kind of like the fact that Peter's like, he doesn't say like the worst thing to him, but he's still just like, I could have said something sweeter. Like I could have, I don't know. It's an interesting scene.
It's not rude enough that it's like earth shattering, but it's like, man, if I had known this was my last moments, I could have been a little bit nicer. You know what I mean?
And they do find a really, I think a really great organic way of working that great responsibility line in, because that's straight out of the comics. And it's always been something that's kind of like attributed to Uncle Ben, but like it wasn't there from the beginning.
Yeah.
That was more of like it was the end caption of the first Spider-Man story, and then they sort of reworked it to be something Uncle Ben had passed on to him in later years.
Right.
It's good though.
Yeah, the movie justifies it, I think.
And then we get to the scene that is probably in the universe of this movie the biggest insurance nightmare I could ever think imaginable, which is
amateur wrestling night.
Just anybody could come in the crowd and let Randy Savage beat you to death with a chair.
I love this scene so much.
It's great. I mean, you got Bruce Campbell eating the fucking scenery.
Octavia Spencer?
Yeah. Dude, surprise Octavia Spencer. Holy shit.
You also have Spider-Man being a little homophobic.
Not great.
Yeah, well, and also, she's not, but I swore one of these wrestling ladies, like the ones that are insulting him as he's walking down the ramp.
Yeah.
It's not Scary Spice.
No, I thought it was January Jones. What? I thought one of them was January Jones. Sure. I looked it up, and it's definitely not, but yeah.
It's February Smith.
Yeah.
No, I love Bonesaw McGraw as a concept. Like,
he's
not
great.
Even the character that he fought in the original comics. They, like, created a new persona for Randy Savage.
Oh, I like when the cage comes down.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you're going nowhere.
I got you for 3 minutes.
My band used to use the clip of him screaming, Bonesaw is ready.
Yeah.
Whenever we'd come out on stage.
Oh, no.
And my buddy Kyle and I in college had played with the idea of doing a fake trailer for a like Lifetime original movie about Bonesaw McGraw.
Like in the style of The Wrestler.
Yeah. Yes. It was going to be called 3 Minutes of Lifetime. The Bonesaw McGraw story.
Oh my god.
That's incredible.
The trailer was gonna end with him looking up at the sky and seeing like all the people that had helped him along the way, and he wiped one tear away,
wait,
he would go
wait, like
he
like would go, Happy Gilmore when yes. he sees the alligator and everything.
Yes. And he'd wipe one tear away and just go, how'd you get up there?
you know what I will EP this movie. I'll supply some fundings.
We've been talking about doing this for like 13 years at this point. Like, I want it to happen so bad.
There's so much that happens in this one little scene with this wrestling match.
Yeah.
But one of my favorites is the girl handing him the chair saying, finish him off. And I'm like, he hasn't even touched Spider-Man yet.
Right.
I don't think you can do a finishing move
right.
with a flawless victory.
Oh, you clearly never button mashed in Mortal Kombat.
I guess. And then there's a fucking crowbar. I'm like, I know it's heightened for the movie. I'm like, there's no way any of this shit would be shut the fuck down immediately.
I don't know, man. Have you ever watched a fucking Hell in the Cell match? Shit gets real, bro.
Yeah. So do you guys think that the audience members brought those saw props from home?
Oh, those hand saws made of cardboard. I was like, fuck yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. I'm into it.
I love it. Honestly, this came out around the same time as Ready to Rumble, and both of those movies made me believe that people could get murdered in the ring, like, just any time.
R.I.P. Owen Hart.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Who robs an underground wrestling ring? Like, why is that the place you rob?
Well, according to Spider-Man 3, actually Sandman's idea.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, for sure. Do you guys care about that rework at all? I think it's fine.
It's a weird retcon.
Oh my god. Hold on. Sorry, pause. My lovely wife just brought me a mug of hot chocolate. Aww. With whipped cream and some marshmallows in it.
Very nice.
Thank you, baby.
Tell her to fuck off. We're recording.
Hold on. You gotta get this on the microphone. Hold on.
Mwah. Aww, very nice.
Very sweet. Now get the fuck out of here. I love you. All right.
God damn it, Priscilla.
I wish she leaned into the microphone and just said, Baby Groot.
What if she would have leaned in and went, Bonesaw is ready?
That video was so funny. Jesus Christ.
Oh my god, that's how you're going to start intercourse from now on, isn't it?
Maybe that's the new segment, is if my wife would like to, and not by force, bring me a nice little beverage in the middle of every recording.
That's a good one. Yeah, it replaces the drink of the movie.
What did Priscilla make this time?
Actually, hang on. No, I'm pitching a different segment. Dustin has to pick one line from each movie to yell while coming.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, I like that.
That's fun.
This is good.
Yeah, Priscilla will love that. Yeah. Oh, these are good marshmallows, bro.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Thanks for bringing some for the fucking rest of us.
Yeah, I know, for real. Hold on, guys. I'll pour it on the laptop. Maybe some will get through the interwebs to you.
This chase scene with the killer is great. I think it also reminds you how much Sam Raimi wanted to make a Batman movie at one point.
Oh, it's cold as fuck. And the guy's like, hey, you could have stopped him. And he gives him the line back of, that sounds like it's your problem or whatever. And I'm like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. I missed the part where that's my problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a cold motherfucker right there.
And he's dead-eyed when he says it.
Yeah.
He is dead-eyed when he says it.
He's so proud of himself.
It's a good exchange. I liked it.
This chase is shot like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
The, like, him, like, you know, coming down behind the burglar and then, you know, sneaking up on him, like, it's pretty intense.
I like that Peter slams this dude's head into not one but two of the glass panes on this door.
He really does.
He goes through one, and I mean, he could just very easily just throw his head against the door if that's what he wants to do. He's like, nope, gotta also break this glass. And speaking of hot rod, it's like breaking all the lamps in the house. Like,
yeah.
He's gotta go through. If he would have broken his like, pushed his head through more glass panes throughout this whole building, just break every single window pane.
It's like that shot of, it should have been the shot of, like, Jason shoving Freddy through, like, the side of the cabin.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spider-Man's first kill.
Yep.
He scares the guy until he falls to his death.
I like the scene. I don't understand how he gets away with the spotlight on him.
Right.
But he does.
He does. He swings away, and then we cut to graduation.
Well, before we get there,
yeah,
we get one of the funniest fucking scenes of the movie to me. The first true Green Goblin scene.
Oh, right. Sure.
Where the military guy's at the competing company that's making the glider technology and all that. And they've got the pilot testing out, like, the spacesuit. And he's just like, what is that? And in his helmet visor, you see the reflection of just this rocket.
Oh, yeah.
Coming towards him. And just the Green Goblin blows this dude to pieces.
Yeah. Yes.
That's one of the hardest murders in a superhero movie I've ever seen.
There's some truly insane violence in this movie.
Oh, and he's giggling the whole time. He's like, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, that's the before you see him, you hear him go, ha.
Yeah. It's a good cackle. It's a great cackle.
So good.
I guess Flash Thompson got Mary Jane, he proposed to her? Because she's like, here, you can have your ring back. I'm like, you guys are in high school.
I think it was his class ring.
It's a promise ring.
Or yeah.
Was it a promise ring? Okay.
Or yeah, or his class ring or something. Yeah.
The way she like handed it back to him, I was like, holy shit.
He's a big Jonas Brothers fan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Flash Thompson said, I wouldn't want to have sex with me neither.
I also think for as like campy and upbeat and fun as this movie is, when it actually does have to get serious and have like the real like emotional moments, mm-hmm. The scene with Peter sitting on the edge of his bed after graduation, and
I missed him a lot today.
I know. Ooh. I teared up.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it's very honest. Like, yeah. I think that's a real thing that I have said about people that I was like, oh, I would have loved for this person to have like shared this day, you know?
Yeah.
And I that's a great moment.
Even you know, Norman at the graduation, when he's like, look, you know, today is not a day about being somber that your uncle's dead. It's about enjoying the fact that you graduated and you made it and all this stuff.
And he'd be proud of you.
It's a very, like, I mean, this is kind of a trope at this point now of, like, the hero and the villain kind of, like, knowing each other that well.
Yeah.
But, like, this is really good because, yeah. Again, they don't figure it out for, like, an hour and a half into the movie.
Yeah. And he's helping Peter and Harry get their place in New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's a genuine connection there.
Which I gotta say, dope apartment.
Mm-hmm. Great apartment. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Dope apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, is the graduation before or after the Lucy Lawless cameo?
It's ooh. Right before, because okay. My next note is goth Lucy Lawless shaped me as a person.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, no. Hey, goth Lucy Lawless had me feeling some type of way.
Some type of way, for sure.
Yes.
And then, yeah, we get a surprise cameo from Jim Norton.
Jim Norton.
When he's like, he's a fucking menace or whatever the fuck he said.
There should have been one F-bomb in this movie where someone's just like, I don't fucking like Spider-Man. There's one guy in this montage that looks like the, yeah, we have, they got motorcycles, dude. Like,
yes. Yes, he does. Yeah, they got motorcycles.
But this is when we are introduced to J.K. Simmons, mm-hmm. who to this day, I think might be mm-hmm. the finest casting of any comic book film ever.
Hands down.
Guys, my note literally says, is J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson the best performance in a comic book movie?
Yes.
He's incredible.
It's stellar. It is stellar.
Meat. I'll send you a nice box of Christmas meat.
That is my favorite line in this whole movie.
It's so good.
Also, he makes a comment here. He's like something about, like, you know, it's not a photo of Julia Roberts in a thong. And I'm like, is that supposed to be a reference to something, or is that just...
No, he's just talking about, like, how, like, it's like sensationalism sells papers. Also, we get Elizabeth Banks is in this. Mm-hmm. I yeah. forgot she was in these.
With one of the worst wigs I've ever seen.
For some reason, they were dead set on her and J. Jonah Jameson looking exactly like their comic book characters.
Yeah. But there's the direction in the J. Jonah Jameson scenes is so incredibly tight.
Yes.
Because it's like, it's chaotic like a newspaper office would be, but it also matches his personality like to a T.
He's yelling into the phone for Ted Raimi as Ted Raimi's walking onto set. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so fun. I love all of that shit.
All the shit with his wife is calling.
Whichever one's cheaper.
Yeah, I was going to say, he says, your wife said the tile you ordered for the foyer is out of stock. And he says, tell her we'll just put a rug there.
Yeah.
I fucking lost it.
That's right.
I fucking lost it.
He's so funny. He's so good. Yeah, that whole sequence is great. And he decides he's going to make Spider-Man infamous because mm-hmm. he won't talk to the press. He won't post pose for pictures.
Yep.
And this, let's see, this is when Peter runs into Mary Jane outside the diner.
And they just straight up stop in the middle of the fucking street to have a conversation.
But also, this insane diner cook that looks like the dude from Attack of the Clones that Kenobi goes to meet comes out screaming about $6. I'm like, are you really going to do this for $6?
As someone who worked at a restaurant, I got screamed at over much less.
Yeah. Oh, I got fired from Dunkin' Donuts for paying for my employee meal with my tip money.
What?
Yeah. Go figure that shit out.
Wait, what?
That's insane.
Yeah, that's insane. You know how it happened too? This is insane because it's been enough time. Fuck this dude. This dude came in, bought the franchise, like the store, because, you know, the franchises, anyone can buy or sell them. He came in, bought it, and he wanted a clean house. Mm-hmm. He had it where the camera feed would be rerouted to his house.
Damn.
So he could see the store from his house.
That's psychotic.
And you think? And my go-to was always, for my employee meal, I would just take it out of my tip jar because we'd split up at the end of the night and I would always have more than enough to pay for my employee meal. And so I did that. And he's like, no, you stole food. I'm like, the fuck are you talking?
You stole fizzy lifting drinks.
Exactly. He just wanted to fire everybody. So, but after I left, a lot of people left. Yeah.
What a dick.
It's real shitty. Fuck that dude.
Wow.
You piece of shit.
Way to start the revolution, Dustin.
Yeah. Oh, I cried. I cried when I left. It was my first job, really. And I got fired and I was like,
Now I can't imagine I would react any differently. That's so upsetting.
I was 16. I was like, what the fuck am I going to do now? Anyway.
You mentioned that this scene has been memed to death. This is the one meme that drives me fucking crazy.
Because it's not accurate?
No, yeah. The meme is her saying, he said, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's in the scene, she's saying, yeah, I hear you. Like, it's such a strange.
But it is a funny meme, though.
It is. It's a good meme. Look, I what can I say? The meme's good.
Yeah, it checks out. Turns out, it checks out. Kirsten Dunst in this movie is gorgeous. Like, her dimples, even her waitress outfit where she's, like, ashamed. I'm like, you look stunning in this movie. And
she's precious in this. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And my favorite look of hers in this movie is when we're at the parade, which we're going to get to here soon. I think she is drop-dead gorgeous in this movie. It's insane.
She is, but it's an interesting bit of cultural appropriation going on everywhere in this parade.
She's in high school, Dustin.
She's, like, 30 making this movie.
Yeah.
So, you know,
this was actually shot like 3 weeks before Melancholia.
Yeah.
That's not true. It does have one of my favorite lines in the movie, too. In that scene is we should get some lunch some evening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we get to the parade. We get to Macy Gray, immediately dates this movie,
which are one of the best quotes of the movie, which is, let's hear it for Macy Gray. And I wrote down to hell. Yeah.
Macy Gray. Musical guest.
There's so much in this scene that dates the ship. The big one for me is the giant on Times Square, the Singular cell phone company. You guys remember Singular's cell phones?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The little orange dude. I was like, oh, boy. I was expecting to see, like, Gateway and other kind of, like, outdated fucking products on those Times Square ads.
I love that this scene features a Stan Lee cameo before they became distracting.
Yeah. And he doesn't do anything.
They just made him an extra.
Right.
He's just a guy running away.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
It's a blink and you miss it kind of thing.
And my next note is, a bomb that makes you into bones.
Why is that the only time he uses that bomb in this movie?
I don't know. He stole that technology from the Mars Attacks aliens.
Yes. But I also love that this scene takes so long to actually get going because the Green Goblin comes in from, like, New Jersey. It's flying over. And people see him and, like, hey, what's that? And it's just, and he's you can hear him cackling 40 miles away. And everyone's just like, this looks entertaining.
He should have been throwing money like the Joker.
Yes, it's basically the Joker parade. That's all it is. And not only does he have to, like, do that, he comes in, glides by, and then does a second trip around again, like a victory lap before he even does anything.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane.
He's gotta flex on him first, man.
He's a show. Exactly. You know he had to do it to him. He's a showman.
Yeah.
I think the practical effects of the explosions, like making that balcony tip over, I think this is all done so well.
I think the explosions in this movie in general are great, which there's another one coming out that is insane that we have to talk about. But
yeah.
Before we get there, we gotta talk about Harry. We never talk about this, but Harry basically taking Peter's when they were at the field trip, and he's like, oh, did you know this and this and this about these spiders? And then him using that to hit on.
And he gets the facts wrong a little bit, too. Yeah.
But then, you know, we get the reveal that, oh, they've been secretly dating this whole time. And I'm like, oh, dude.
And he hasn't told his friend because he's just, like, swooped in and stolen his girl. Like, or like, he knows that he's crazy about her.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But then he tries to kiss Mary Jane here and gets denied. And I'm like, dude, you gotta read the room. Yeah. If that happens, it's over. It's done.
It's not good. It's not
good. Get the fuck out. But yeah, this whole scene is played insane. There's the skeletons, which we talked about. I completely forgot that was a thing and lost my mind on the plane.
It's so great.
I woke the guy up next to me. I was like, did you see this shit?
I'll back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. There's the child that's ready to die.
Oh, my God.
Like,
what is going on with kids in these Spider-Man movies that are just so eager to be killed?
Yeah. This one, then doesn't he save a kid from the rhino
in
Amazing Spider-Man 2?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. These kids are just so eager to die. I don't get it. But yeah, then, you know, Peter rescues everybody here as Spider-Man and drops Mary Jane on this roof.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, how the fuck does she get down from here?
I don't even know. She doesn't even know where she lives from there.
She doesn't know. There's two people up there that are just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I actually love the fight with the Green Goblin is really well done. He has his whole little itsy bitsy spider bit.
Oh, he's chewing the fuck out of this movie, dude. I love it.
It's so fun because he's so in funny. This little suit and he's got to work through it. And he's doing weird things with his posture. Like he stands kind of like wavy. Like he's got a weird, he's got a back brace on.
Both him and Spider-Man like are faceless, expressionless. Like mask that they wear, and there's still so much personality
100%
in both of their performance. But yeah, the itsy bitsy spider thing is incredible.
I love that his little I surrender, like that so is good. Really fun.
What's he say when he's flying away? He's like, I'll get you next time, Spider-Man.
He says, we'll meet. Yes, this is my next note. We'll meet again, Spider-Man.
That's right, we'll meet again. So incredible.
You and your little dog too.
it's so
goofy and I love it.
It's great.
It fully embraces that kind of like this is a very like 2001 movie, 2002 movie, but it fully embraces the 60s camp in some spots too, and I think it all works really well.
I'm just now realizing at least twice in this movie, the Green Goblin is introduced to the scene by exploding a wall out from behind a character because he does it right here with J. Jonah Jameson.
And he does it to Aunt May.
Yep. The Aunt May one is the most insane shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But before we get there, we get another great J. Jonah Jameson line, which is, it's Peter showing in the pictures and he's like, oh, great, we'll put these on the front page. We'll call it, you know, The Menace or whatever. And he's like, hey, he saved those people. And he goes, that's slander. And Jay Chanda goes, slander is spoken. In print, it's libel.
It's so good. Yeah,
he's not wrong.
Top tier.
Is this the same scene where he says, you don't trust anyone, do you? And he goes, I trust my barber.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's later on. Yeah, it's so good.
Which I gotta say, I mean, his haircut, that fade is a tight fade.
The highest and tightest fade I've ever seen on a human being.
It's great.
Which, wait, did you guys recognize the rooftop where he drops off MJ after saving her?
No.
It's the same rooftop from the Daredevil show.
That's right.
Where Kingpin and Madame Gao talk.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right on.
Yeah. I do remember that, yeah.
I actually, right before this scene, we do have James Franco's tiny phone, which was like that Will Ferrell sketch where he just had the little, I want to buy you something.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the argument, we've talked about this a little bit, but the argument between Norman and himself in the mirror is really fun. His little sachet when he's holding the paper is really fun.
So good.
Oh, when he's in the mirror's reflection, he is eating it up, dude.
Follow the cold shiver running down your spine.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Very Sam Raimi. Like, it's just top tier Sam Raimi.
It's lots of canted angles and, like, weird. It's a really fun sequence. And I love, you know, all we've seen of Jameson so far is that he's this like money obsessed douchebag.
Yep.
And when Goblin shows up and threatens him, asks him who takes the pictures of Spider-Man, Jameson doesn't sell Peter out. He has the guts to just say like someone mails them in anonymously.
I noticed that. I thought it was very, very interesting.
It's a great character moment.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so at odds with the version of J. Jonah Jameson that's like only obsessed with taking pictures in the third movie. It's to the point where he's like buying a disposable camera from a bunch of kids. It's a great moment.
Then we also get the Green Goblin going, sleep.
Sleep.
But then he has a line here on this rooftop, which I think is a great scene.
Yeah.
Even though Defoe is fucking, again, hamming it the fuck up.
When he smacks Spidey on the back of the head, yep, and does the you, me.
I fucking loved it.
It's so great.
He says, he has a line here that says, in spite of everything you've done for them, eventually they will hate you. And I'm like, this kind of feels like the predecessor of the, you either live long enough to you know, to see yourself become the villain, whatever the fuck, you know?
Oh, sure.
I'm like, that's pretty close.
Sure. And in case we missed it, there's a flashback to him saying that in the next scene.
Yep.
We need those flashbacks.
Yeah. For sure.
Also, I want a newsroom-style show about the Daily Bugle.
Oh, my God. I would watch that.
Please, God.
Aaron Sorkin, where's my J. Jonah Jameson series?
Can you imagine how good that would be?
Yeah. A J. Jonah walk and talk.
Oof. I would love, even if it was bad, I would love it.
But then we get one of the most important scenes, I think, in maybe cinema history. And I'm bold enough to say that.
Wow.
Which is Peter rescuing MJ from the thugs in the rain.
Oh, sure.
From the thug that just growls at her.
Yes.
This was a weird thing in superhero movies around this time where we kept having a sequence where the hero shows that they're a hero by averting a sexual assault.
Yep. Like,
this also happens in Ghost Rider.
Batman Returns.
It happens in, yes.
Well, the early 2000s were a different time.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird moment, but yeah.
Everything about this scene worked so fucking well for me. I mean, yeah, the fact that Peter's got the mask like ripped in half. When he lays down the final thug and you get that over the shoulder of MJ seeing him and he's just barely in the shadow.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's Toby, but like she obviously couldn't. And he's just standing there in the rain.
Yeah.
Feels right out of a comic panel. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yes. It's really great.
Him dipping into the shadows. It's like, holy shit, this is intense, dude. And it's as good as the scene is, I'm also I have a hard time because she just talked to Peter of her not recognizing that it's him. Or
yeah. I do like that Peter's Spider-Man voice is sort of like what a kid would think a superhero would sound like.
Hello, ma'am. I'm here to rescue you. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoy that. But he kind of lets it go a little bit here. I think that's an interesting moment.
But also, the upside down kiss, very impractical.
Yes. Impractical, but dude, it's genuinely a great shot.
And it's iconic.
Iconic. It's undeniably iconic.
Except for the last bit where she just like licks his chin.
Hey, man.
Well, there was water dripping on it. She's thirsty.
That's a choice.
Kirsten Dunst could do that to me. I'm not going to complain.
Well, yeah, because you'd have hot chocolate dripping down. It's funny because he, you know, when Tobey Maguire talks about shooting this scene, he's just like, this was not fun for me.
Oh, no, they both said it was miserable.
No, upside down with the rain going up your nose? Yeah. That sounds fucking terrible.
And you can, every vein in his neck is sticking out. His, like, throat is so red.
It's still great.
Like, you know there's a take where they're kissing and he just starts coughing water into her mouth.
No, the result is one of the most, a perfect scene that could only work for a Spider-Man movie. Yes. Also, like, it's great.
Yeah, this wouldn't work with Batman.
No.
But also, he's basically just being waterboarded.
No, because Batman would complain about Vicky Vale's weight, which he does. Yep. In Batman 89.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's more believable, that Peter doesn't realize that MJ is so clearly into him in this movie.
Yeah.
Or that MJ doesn't know Peter is Spider-Man, because they both seem blatantly obvious on this rewatch.
It is one of those very like selective realism comic book things you gotta go with. Like,
that's true.
You know, it's the Clark Kent putting on glasses of it all.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Then we get the building on fire scene.
Yeah.
Which is great because I love that, like, he rescues that baby and then the cop's like, you're under arrest. And they hear another voice and he's like, well, when you come back here, I'm arresting you. And Spider-Man's like, the fuck? I'm not coming back.
I'm not coming back, Chief.
Yeah. On the plane, I forgot about the scene.
Oh.
And the Green Goblin dressed as an old lady.
Yeah.
That little scream is so good.
I lost it.
maybe the scampiest move of the whole movie.
Oh, it 100% is.
This is he is definitely the scampiest, like the one in the movie. And this is, yeah, this scene solidifies the scampiness of him. Holy shit.
He's so good. And I love I love that they're quipping at each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so cheesy, but the "you're the one, you're out, Gobby, out of your mind" is great.
You're fucking out.
You're fucking out, Gobby.
But no, I mean, again, this movie is just iconic scene after iconic scene, because yeah. right before this, we had the upside down kiss. Here we've got him in slow motion dodging the Green Goblin blade things.
Yeah, which is so fucking cool.
It's so good.
It's great. And they nail Spider-Man's physicality in mm-hmm. these movies. Like that pose in midair might as well have been drawn by like Todd McFarlane. Like, it's mm-hmm. so fucking rad.
But also, I know this is like one of those movies that everyone just looks down upon, but like, you guys know the guys that make like all those movies are like Date Movie and Epic Movie and all that shit.
Sure.
The one they did with Drake Bell for Superhero Movie genuinely was pretty fucking funny. And they did this scene.
That's going to be a big doubt for me.
Well, they did this scene, and except it's Drake Bell as his superhero, and he gets hit by every single one of them. So he tries to dodge them, and they all hit
him. Oh, so it's me as a superhero. Cool.
Yeah. Aww.
I mean Leslie Nielsen's in that one, so you get some good stuff. So
oh, okay. Yeah. I am a Nielsen completist. So yeah,
it's not bad, I'll say that.
Does that mean you can only come if you put on the Naked Gun?
That's correct. And it's so funny. I was thinking about this. I've been re-listening to James Bonding, and they talked about Leslie Nielsen at one point. They're like, isn't it wild that like the Zuckers stopped making Naked Gun movies, but Leslie Nielsen didn't stop making Naked Gun movies?
Yeah.
Yep.
We always have there's Christmas movies, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or whatever. No one's talking about the real thing. This is a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about it. This is your Thanksgiving movie right here.
Yeah. Oh my God. Is this episode dropping the week of Thanksgiving?
It might. Let me look. That's actually a good point.
I think it is, actually.
Let me look.
All right. What is more upsetting?
Putting his fingers in the casserole. I'll do that. I'll go ahead and tell you it's that.
Or Denethor eating the tomato in Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, that depends on
tomatoes. The tomato. No, it's definitely the tomato.
It's the tomato still, I think.
Well, the tomato's more erotic, isn't it?
No. No, it's not.
He sucks his fingers in this movie, Nathan.
He's like, this tomato. It's a cherry tomato, too, isn't it?
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
Also, yes, this episode drops the week of Thanksgiving, so you're welcome, audience.
That's fucking awesome.
I like that Aunt May doesn't put up with his shit at all. And he licks every one of his fingers for some reason.
He does, yeah.
It's weird.
Well, and I do like that the goblin is starting to like assert himself more. Mm-hmm. This is clearly like the middle ground.
Ah, so it was the goblin licking Norman's fingers.
Yeah.
Hot.
Which is erotic.
They're best friends.
This is what, like an hour and a half into the movie, and yeah. this is just now where. And I like that it's the villain who puts it together.
Yes.
That Peter is Spider-Man and not both at the same time. Like, Peter doesn't realize it's Willem Dafoe until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible. And for him to figure it out and being like, you know, he's like, I gotta go. And he just, but then before he goes, he delivers one of the harshest lines in the movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I so feel bad for MJ because she really wants to make an impression to Norman. And
he tells Harry to broom her.
That's the line. He says, do what you're going to do with her and then broom her fast. I'm like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah. Like he says something about a girl. What do you think a girl like that wants from you? Like, yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so mean.
You stick with them long enough and then they're going after your bank account or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Harry not saying shit about it. And yep. I like that Aunt May calls him out too, but I'm like, Harry Osborn.
Yeah.
Great. It's a great performance.
Because he tells MJ to shut up yeah. about things she doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. That's my father.
But it's fine. He's a nice guy.
Oh, he's such a nice guy.
Kind of relating to your point about like Norman figuring out, they do kind of something similar in Homecoming.
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton, which I will say, that's my favorite part of Homecoming.
Me too.
I didn't love that movie, yeah. but that whole sequence.
Oh, when Michael Keaton's driving him to the thing. And
yeah.
It's the most tense moment in the entire film.
Yeah.
And it's just two guys in a car having a conversation.
No. Not two guys. An older man and a child.
Yes.
And he's like, I will murder you.
I will kill you and everyone you love.
Yes.
That scene's great.
Well, and there's also like the brilliance of like in the background, like whenever he figures it out, you see the light go from red to green.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Subtle, cheesy, but I fucking love it.
I love yep. it too.
Speaking of cheesy, we got to talk about this Lord's Prayer scene.
Finish it.
It may, I'm going to be controversial here. It may be the best scene of any movie of all time.
What?
It is. It's perfect.
What an intense thing to say.
If I was a film instructor, this would be a scene I teach in film school. I'm not even kidding. This is perfect cinema.
Deliver us.
I'm so glad you're not a teacher. Holy shit.
The explosion is so fucking I mean, we just had this with J. Jonah Jameson.
All right, kids. So every good scene starts with an explosion.
Yeah.
An explosion behind an old woman.
Course instructor is Michael Bay, of course. But no, I mean, we just did the scene and somehow they outdo it again. Because when there is no warning on this explosion. It's a jump scare, basically.
Yeah.
And then it makes no sense because how the fuck would the Green Goblin even know she was giving the Lord's Prayer? Rosemary Harris is fucking... Oh my God, she is doing it up in this scene. From evil. She might as well be Mermaid Man from SpongeBob. Like, it's insane.
The implication is that he just scared her so much.
I love it. Because when she's like, oh, those eyes, those horrible yellow eyes. I'm like, this is incredible.
I feel like any other movie would have been like, oh, she had a heart attack or something. Mm-hmm. But this one, it's literally just like, the Green Goblin is so fucking scary that she had to go to the hospital.
Yes! This is also the woman that in the next movie will beat Doc Ock with an umbrella.
Yes! Oh my God. The bank scene is the best.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, so we get the Lord's Prayer. She's in the hospital. And then that's when Peter figures it out. Like, whoever the Green Goblin is, he knows that I am Spider-Man.
He knows who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get the Superman line, which is a fantastic line. Yeah. It's great.
And I love that scene between Peter and MJ where he tells her.
It's so emotional.
It's so emotional. But then it has that great little laugh line at the end where she goes, you really said that about me? And he says, I mean, it's something like that.
Yeah.
Beautiful monologue. Yeah. Yeah.
It's genuine. And Tobey Maguire, people don't really give him that much credit. He's fucking great in these movies. Like, yeah. Even the third one where it's not a good movie, he's fucking going for it.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
He's really dialed in.
Yeah.
He was the right person at this time to play Peter Parker.
Absolutely.
I completely believe that. Yeah.
Absolutely. We get another great Green Goblin line where he's on the payphone and he gets, can Spider-Man come out to play?
So good.
It's so hammy. It's so good.
So creepy.
But then, again, another iconic fucking shot is... The Green Goblin he's kidnapped MJ. He's got the kids on the whatever you call it, the gondola or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to drop them both, and then you get almost like the Matrix shot of one in one eye. It's in the trailer too. It's a great fucking shot. It's great.
It's a great shot, and I appreciate the balls that this movie has to basically say, we're gonna do the night Gwen Stacy died,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to up the ante. And Spider-Man's gonna fucking win.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I think that it's so ballsy.
It's incredible.
Which, I mean, I will say, like, if it's me, you know, fuck the kids. I'm saving MJ. Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Which I do have to give credit to Amazing Spider-Man 2. The one thing I like about that movie is that they had the fucking balls to go for it.
Yeah. Yes.
With that end.
That's the only good part of that movie to me is that and the Times Square stuff is the only good part of those movies.
The crushing thing about Gwen's death in Spider-Man 2 or in Amazing Spider-Man 2 is that she is... Because we all know Emma Stone's great.
Yeah.
And she plays the drama of that. Just look at her. She plays the drama of that situation really well. But every time she falls in that sequence, she's not screaming because she knows he's going to catch her every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the most, I think that's a brilliant move. Like
in which he does catch her.
Yes.
Technically he catches her.
Yeah. He does technically catch her. I think the first 10 minutes of that movie and the last 10 minutes of that movie are impeccable.
Yes. I agree.
It also, like, as Dustin said, the Times Square thing, like, yep. Spider-Man putting on the firefighter's helmet, mm-hmm. and going for the hose is fucking amazing.
Oh, that's great.
That movie has glimpses of goodness in it, yes. And the rest is just, you can put it right in the garbage disposal.
They needed to pick Electro or Harry Osborn.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to pick one.
Yeah, there's maybe a handful of superhero movies that have more than one villain that actually work.
Yeah.
Probably on one hand, I could count them.
Well, so. I, you know what? I gotta say about, I know I keep going off on weird little Andrew Garfield tangents, but sure. By the time this episode drops, maybe we'll have another No Way Home trailer. Mm-hmm. But all I will say that, like, I think he's a fucking genius. Mm-hmm. Because one, I think he's a great actor. I genuinely always enjoy him.
Yeah. He's good.
But I will also say that, like, he's clearly been told by Disney to deny being in this movie, mm-hmm. this next movie, as hard as he can. And so he's using that to publicly air all of his grievances with working on those movies.
Sony?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I fucking love it.
Talking about how capitalism is like the end of everything, mm-hmm. how they wouldn't let him explore, you know, Peter's sexuality in the movies, yep. because they and like made him like publicly retract his statements so that they could. He's like basically like, oh, you want bigots to buy tickets to your movies? Like,
again, I'll say it. I don't like Amy Pascal at all.
Yeah.
I think she's terrible.
No, but it's a wild. I just love that he's taking this opportunity. I mean, it'd be like if Michael Keaton had been told, don't tell anyone you're in The Flash. Mm-hmm. And so he's spent like 2 years of marketing, of interviews, just being like, you know what? Batman sucks. I fucking hate that suit. I've had it.
I do like Topher Grace has been giving pretty good responses too about whether or not he'll be in.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they're pretty good. But yeah, we got this final fight between the Green Goblin and Spider-Man. Whew. I think this fight scene is actually genuinely really good for even like a superhero movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's insanely violent, too.
Spider-Man gets the shit beat out of him.
Spider-Man getting his face blown half off.
Yeah.
That shot is so fucking good because in slow-mo, you see Tobey Maguire, like his whole face retract when that explosion goes off. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's really fucking good.
This movie also, like, between this and like the first X-Men movie, I feel like really set us up for big third act fights, mm-hmm. in superhero movies. So I remember when Iron Man came out, I was so disappointed that the fight with Ironmonger is like 3 minutes long. Yeah. I was like, wait, hang on. I'm so used to seeing Norman Osborn and Peter Parker beating the shit out of each other for like 10 minutes. I'm used to watching the X-Men climb the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. Well, I, like in this fight scene, I feel the weight of every single punch.
Yes.
And every single wall that they get thrown into.
It's personal.
And a movie that I really enjoy but has none of that is Dark Knight Rises. When Batman comes back to fight Bane,
yeah.
It all feels plastic. Like, I feel nothing.
Well, I think the action is one of the weakest parts of that trilogy. Because I love Christopher Nolan, but Nolan, he's not great at shooting action.
No.
Yeah.
Although I do love the first fight with Batman and Bane.
Oh, where Batman's not getting any fucking hits in?
Yes. And no, like, there's no score.
Right. Yeah, it's dark.
It's good.
It's dark.
I like the fight on the docks in Batman Begins a lot because it's shot weirdly, but it's also very much like, oh, Batman's a force of nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just kind of comes in and you can't really tell what's happening, and that's kind of the point.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you can't build a whole trilogy off of what the fuck did he just do?
And then we get the reveal that Peter finds out that Green Goblin is Norman,
mm-hmm.
with great performance by Dafoe.
Yeah.
And I like that Tobey Maguire's, you know, Peter Parker is just like, you killed so many people. You tried to kill Aunt May. You tried to kill MJ. He's like trying to make it make sense for himself.
Yeah. And in Norman, I think Dafoe really plays that duality well, where mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to tell if maybe he meant some of this. Like, I'm sorry.
I don't think he is. I interpret this.
I don't think he does.
On this rewatch, I interpret it as that's the Green Goblin posing as Norman.
And I think that Norman comes back when he says, don't tell Harry.
Yes. I agree.
So good.
That's a great final line. Holy shit. The weight of that. And then this whole death is incredible because it's like he tries to impel. Yeah, the O is incredible because they drop all the sound down. And he's like, oh.
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Godspeed, Spider-Man's fucking great.
That line rules.
So good.
Yeah.
But then it kind of doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because it's like if he did impale Spider-Man, I'm pretty sure he would also impale himself.
Yeah.
In this,
yeah. He gets stabbed in the dick.
Yeah.
Right in the dick.
Those blades go through his dick.
Absolutely. But yeah, don't tell Harry. Oof.
Yeah.
Just from Peter's point of view, this is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie is not without like a lot of darkness to it because, like, of course, you got the Uncle Ben stuff. You get this here. You get his friendship with Harry being ruined basically at the end.
Becoming Spider-Man is tied to everything going wrong for him.
Yep.
The worst thing that ever happened to him was becoming Spider-Man.
And I think that's the right move.
It's incredibly smart. The fact that he walks away from MJ at the end of this movie is the smartest thing they could have done.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%.
Which, I mean, the man broke up with a girl at a cemetery.
Yeah. Well, didn't even break up. They were never together.
True.
Yeah. She confesses her love to him, which... Yeah. The whole movie, you're like, he's going to confess his love to her. She says it to him, and he's like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Flipped it on him.
Like, the weight of all that.
Yeah.
When he says, I will be there for you forever, and I will take care of you, and then dot, 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 as a friend. Holy shit. To see Kirsten Dunst's reaction to that.
Yeah.
I know. I teared up. I was like, holy shit. I feel so bad.
She's really good in this scene.
Yeah.
And it ends us on it. My last note is shit's bleak, man. Like, it's just.
Well, one of my last notes is Ben Parker's tombstone does not have a birth year or a death year on it. It just says Ben Parker.
Well, Ben Parker was a Highlander. That's,
that's right. He lives forever.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
What we didn't see was Sandman coming back and taking his head.
And then it's all pretty much CG, but this ending of him being like, who am I? I'm Spider-Man. And then him just swinging through the city with this most operatic music is...
It's great.
Both impressive and like uplifting because, oh, the superhero is here to save the day. But it's also like, this is dark as fuck. How alone he is. Like, they show him like swinging above the buildings, coming down to the streets a little bit, and then like on the flagpole and stuff. It's like, dude, he's... That's what it emphasizes to me is he has no one now.
Yes.
He's alone.
It's him. It's just him. And the thing that I love about this, and I mean this as a compliment, it feels very much like a theme park ride in this shot.
Yeah.
Like you are following along with him. The camera is swooping through the buildings and there's...
Oh, it's like the Universal Studios, like Back to the Future thing where you sit in the car and you go through.
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly what it feels like.
Oh, it rules. I love it so much. It's perfect.
I've seen the scene 1,000 times. I've heard the score 1,000 times. It's still jaw dropping to me. Like how incredible this finale is to this movie.
Yeah.
The only thing that ruins it is the fucking Nickelback song.
I'm so high.
It's terrible.
I can hear heaven.
But also, what a time to be alive. No end credit scene.
Right?
You get the fuck out of there.
The movie's over. Go home.
It's refreshing. I was so relieved there was nothing after the credits. I was like, oh, thank God. No Spider-Man will return. Nothing. we're done.
Spider-Man will return in Spider-Pussy.
In Thunderball.
Aww.
Oh, yours was better. And that's it, dude. That's the movie.
Yeah.
Harry swears that he'll make Spider-Man pay for what he did to his father.
Swear on my father's grave.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's real bad in this scene.
Real bad.
Franco's so fucking bad in this scene.
He's dead behind the eyes. And yeah, Spider-Man will pay. I swear on my father's grave.
Spider-Man will pay.
Yeah, it's real bad. Well, okay. Is there anything else about the movie in particular we want to talk about before we get to the wrap up stuff?
No, I've got some stuff on the long road to getting Spider-Man made. If you guys want to go get into that,
yeah. Let's do that now.
So a couple years back, I wrote at AIPTComics.com. We had Spectacular Spider Month, which was celebrating the release of Spider-Man Far From Home, and so I dug into the history of unmade Spider-Man films in a two part. A series of articles called The Unproduced Web of Spider-Man. And I found a bunch of weird shit. There was so much stuff that I like ended up only covering like half of the movies that didn't get made.
Okay.
But basically, the road to getting Spider-Man on the big screen started in 1976.
I believe that.
Yeah. A producer named Steve Krantz, who was a producer on the 1967 cartoon series, wanted to make a TV movie musical out of The Night Gwen Stacy Died.
I don't like that.
Which would have included a scene where Spider-Man fights a giant Nazi robot.
Oh, of course.
Okay, for obvious reasons,
it
didn't happen. But the first real serious attempt at making it happened in 1982 when Roger Corman got the rights to it. And, you know, Roger Corman, famous schlockmaster, wanted Stan Lee to write the screenplay. And Stan's pitch involved Dr. Octopus as the main villain, but it would have been way too expensive to make. So they kind of just like the rights lapsed again. And in 1985, the rights to Spider-Man the movie were bought by Canon Films.
Oh, no.
Holy shit. I would have paid all the money to see a Canon Films produce Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the folks who brought us, you know, many a Chuck Norris vehicle, many a ninja film, the Break-In series. 1985, Tobe Hooper was attached to make Spider-Man.
Why? I gotta say, there is something to be said with getting all these horror directors to make these big epic movies, like, yes, with Peter Jackson and Lord of the Rings and shit.
Yes.
Something about it fucking works.
Yeah, and well, and what was weird was it was bought by a series of people who didn't understand or refused to do any research into the characters. So the screenplay for the Tobe Hooper version was written by Leslie Stevens, and it would have involved Peter Parker being mutated into a half-man, half-spider monster by the evil Dr. Zork.
Is David Cronenberg behind this one?
Jesus Christ.
So, and he would have fought like a bunch of other mutants. Yeah. So eventually they're like, this isn't working. Tobe Hooper quits and Joseph Zito joins, the director of such films as Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, and the original Maniac.
Mm.
This would have been another Dr. Octopus story. But another, and it looked like it was going to work for a little while. And some of the actors that were being courted for the project included Tom Cruise as Spider-Man.
Nope.
Bob Hoskins as Dr. Octopus.
Yes.
And Stan Lee as J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Which I kind of love that. But so they brought another writer in to like jazz up the project. And he had a lot of really interesting notes, like, why don't we call him Professor Octopus? Which, what? I think is a really necessary change.
Yeah.
And can Professor Octopus have a sidekick named Wiener?
Yep.
And can Professor Octopus's catchphrase be okie dokie? So he says it like 1,000 times in the script.
Is this the same guy that wanted to name Back to the Future Spaceman from Pluto or whatever?
Right. So then that eventually falls apart and canon goes to like one of their go-to guys, Albert Pion, who would eventually go on to make that 1990 version of Captain America with like that has like the rubber ears on the suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to make a movie with the Lizard as the main villain. And they had this interesting idea where they were going to try to fast track both Spider-Man and a sequel to their Masters of the Universe movie that they would shoot at the same time.
Because
they were about to lose the rights for both of them and all of their checks were bouncing. So the idea was, they built all of these New York City sets for Spider-Man and they made all these costumes for Masters of the Universe 2. And according to Albert Pion, the concept was to shoot 2 weeks of Spider-Man, the section of the story before Peter Parker was bitten. And then while he bulked up and trained for 6 weeks, they'd shoot Masters of the Universe 2. And then once they were done with that, they were just trying to like knock both of these out for a tiny budget.
Yeah.
And this is the most insane thing. They lose the rights to both properties because they're not able to make their payments to Marvel or Mattel.
Yeah.
So what they do is they go to the director and they say, hey, we have all these New York sets and we have all of these weird costumes for Masters of the Universe. Can you make us a movie with these? And so he goes and over the weekend writes the screenplay for Cyborg, the Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Mm.
So they burned all the New York sets and then just made this post-apocalyptic movie with the leftovers of those other two movies.
Hell yeah.
Around this time, Carolco Films gets the rights. And a young James Cameron is brought on to write a treatment and possibly direct.
I remember that, yeah.
His version of the movie would be, in no uncertain terms, the horniest superhero movie ever made.
I'm about it.
He came up with the idea of Peter having organic web shooters. And there was a sequence where he discovers his powers when he wakes up stuck to his sheets. Like he thinks he's had a wet dream. I'm going to send you guys, there's storyboards and like concept art for this.
Oh no.
Sending it to you now.
Oh no. I'm going to put on a watch list.
Oh my God.
That's real. And we should post it with this.
You know what? I kind of like it.
His movie would have been hardcore rated R. Peter is constantly dropping the F-bomb in this treatment.
Mm.
In one of the weirdest bits of the movie, he climbs on the wall outside of Mary Jane's bedroom and watches her undress.
Oh, boy.
There was an extended sequence of Peter explaining spider mating rituals to her and actually like dancing around her like a spider. Followed by a bondage style love scene where he webbed her to the Brooklyn Bridge and the two had sex while he kept his mask on.
I
this is all real.
I I'd watch it. just saying, I'd watch it.
I mean, it's a fascinating what if, like, over the years, while he was working on this.
Yeah, Marvel, get on this. What if James Cameron, Spider-Man? Season 2, let's go, baby.
Like, at one point, he was talking with Eddie Furlong about playing Spider-Man. At one point, it was Leo DiCaprio attached.
What?
Yeah, just very strange.
Well, not Eddie Furlong. I could see... I always get the two confused. Emil Hirsch, I could see as a Spider-Man.
Maybe. Oh, that would be interesting. And then for a hot minute, David Fincher was attached, mm-hmm. and he wanted to do The Night Gwen Stacy Died. And his idea was the first 10 minutes of the movie are like a operatic one-er where I go through the entire origin of Spider-Man before the opening credits.
Okay.
And then we just jump into him having adventures, which I kind of love. That's one of my favorite things about MCU Spider-Man is we get the deal. We know who Spider-Man is. We don't need any of that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that eventually also fell apart, clearing the way for Sam Raimi. But man, what a fucking ride.
That's insane.
There's and if you guys want to check out those articles, I also get into like the unmade Amazing Spider-Man spinoffs. We almost got an Aunt May solo film.
That's insane. That's bananas.
There's an early version of Venom, which was called Venom Carnage. Not just that, just those two words, not a versus in the title.
So it's like WandaVision.
Yeah, sort Venom of Carnage. Venom Carnage. Yeah, some weird shit.
Has anybody seen Venom 2?
No.
Okay.
I have, I've read a lot about it, but I have not seen it. We got the best first Spider-Man movie, I think.
Agreed. Well, all right, guys, let's talk about Prop Cop. And that is, of course, for new listeners, where we look at all the props that are in Spider-Man from 2002,
mm-hmm.
all the props, all the wardrobe, anything that's tangible, and we pick one for ourselves. So, Nathan, this was your pick.
Yeah.
You get to go first. What do you want from Spider-Man?
I want one of those bone saws that they have in the crowd.
Damn it.
There was, like, no other choice for me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Mally?
I want that Thanksgiving turkey.
It does look delicious.
That one that's clearly plastic, that's the one you want?
That shit looked delicious.
That shit looks so fake.
I'll eat plastic, I don't care, man. It looked well seasoned.
I actually want the sketch that Peter does of the spider suit, like the final version of it. I think that would be cool to have framed in my house. Okay, well, what about bit part?
Yeah.
That is, of course, where we look at all the extras, all the featured extras, anybody in the background, a non-named character, and we say, hey, we're going to replace that person with us so we can be in this movie. Who would we pick? So, Mally, let's start with you. Who do you want to be?
Oh, I would like to be the wrestler screaming about not being able to feel his legs.
Okay.
That one's good.
All right. I want to be the guy similar in the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy when the cage starts to come down. This one guy in the crowd loses his mind and just goes, "Cage!" I want to be that guy.
That's me when I see Nicolas Cage in a movie.
That's the Leo DiCaprio meme for you of pointing at the TV.
Cage.
Every time Fiamma's like, "You put Pig on. You knew he was in this."
And you don't have to do it for every scene. We get it. He's in the movie. Who do you want to be, Nathan?
So I was stuck between a couple. At first I wanted to be the bus driver who is clearly making fun of Peter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I want to be the jetpack test pilot who gets blown up by Green Goblin.
That's a good one. My backup was going to be the little kid Billy that almost gets crushed by the sign that's Spider-Man's face.
Yeah.
But I want to be fully grown up.
In that scene, there's an extra that gets like wiped out by mm-hmm. a lamppost. Mm-hmm. That when that lamp comes down on his head, it's wild.
All right. Well, the moment of truth,
mm-hmm.
silver lining. I will let you guys go first because I just realized I do not have one.
Oh boy.
I did not write one down. It's always the thing I do last and I always forget. So when do you guys go first?
I mean, the people that Peter loves are safe.
Yeah.
Even if he has to keep them at arm's length.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Mally?
Yeah. The lab avoided the fuck out of a lawsuit.
Oh my God.
Peter could have sued the fuck out of him.
Oh
that's
my
a great
God.
Point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just letting that spider run around willy-nilly.
Yeah, like, how do you lose a fucking super Spider. You have one job.
Well, I like that MJ points it out too. He's like, oh, there's only 24. You said there was 25. And she's like, Anyway.
I guess the researchers have that one.
Yeah, it's like, no, look into that immediately.
That shot of the fangs going into Peter's hand is fucking visceral.
Yeah.
Oh, that was another note I wrote down. I was like, dude, you got to tell someone about this bite. Like,
it's getting real big.
It's like, you guys saw Candyman, right? It's like, you got to tell somebody about that bite.
You have holes in your neck.
Silver lining.
Wow, this is weird. Usually I'm the one sitting here trying to think of one at the end.
Well, I've got a couple rolling around in here. None of them are good. I'm trying to think if there's like a good one. The one I'm thinking of right now is Mary Jane still got to keep her job waiting tables even after that $6 snafu.
There you go.
So there's that. Because I like that Peter was like, she goes, yeah, I know, it's some life I'm living, huh? He's like, you should be proud. You have a job.
Yeah.
I'm like, see, that's good. So that's how I feel about it, too. It's like, who cares if you're $6 short?
Peter and Harry have a few months' rent.
Yeah. Harry's going to be doing great after this, by the way. Yeah, Holy shit. The inheritance? Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about it, but their butler that shows up in these movies too is great.
Boy, he's got quite a monologue in the third movie.
Yeah, he's got a very specific kind of delivery in his acting performance. It's very unique.
I love your father. Yeah.
He was a good man, Harry.
I dressed his wounds that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my silver lining.
It's good.
So what about double feature where if you watch Spider-Man, you're like, guys, this ending is just, it's too depressing. Mm-hmm. I need something more upbeat, more positive. We give you a double feature of a movie you watch afterwards.
I'll go last.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Go ahead, Nathan.
So I know I've mentioned it a few times, and it's not necessarily happier than this one, but it is bug nuts insane. Check out Darkman for Sam Raimi's first spin at directing a superhero movie, because it is wild.
Sure.
If you like some of the creepier, weirder editing choices in this movie, then Darkman is a real fun time.
I think you should watch Antichrist with Blown Up Now.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Shadow of the Vampire.
It also kind of ends a little bit dour, like this movie does, and we actually even considered doing it for this episode, but I think you got to keep it going. Go into Spider-Man 2, man.
Yeah.
Keep this train rolling. Like, even though these movies are kind of dark at the end, they are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so I think Spider-Man 2 would just, seal the deal for you.
It's so good. It's so fucking good.
So good. I think I'm going to rewatch it either tonight or tomorrow night. Like, yeah. I need to now. Mally, what about you?
Oh, boy.
Prepare yourself, audience.
So, Peter Parker is trying to do a lot in this movie.
Uh-huh.
What with balancing his personal life and his Spider-Man life.
Uh-huh.
You could almost say he's trying to ice skate uphill.
Uh-huh.
So go watch Blade.
Yeah. Where it started it all for Marvel.
Yep. Really did.
Yeah.
I mean, before this, the biggest theatrical release Marvel had had was Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
And then that did so badly, it took like a decade before Blade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Blade literally saved them from financial bankruptcy.
Blade rules.
So
I rewatched that recently. And I think the sequel's even better. Like, I think Blade 2 is so fun.
Oh, Blade 2 is so good.
Yeah.
My first R-rated movie in the theater.
Blade 3 is not good.
Yeah.
Blade 3 has Parker Posey going for it, though, at least.
And a lot of Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is fun in that movie, I'm not gonna lie.
he's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I know the answer already, but I have to ask, do we recommend Spider-Man from 2002?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Dude, fuck yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you recommend Blade?
Like, I know Spider-Man 2 gets a lot of praise, and rightfully so. It is one of the definitive superhero movies of all time.
But this is the template, man. Like,
I think this is slept on so hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's a defining moment in movie history. Like, undeniably, this movie was huge.
It was massive. Yeah.
And if you enjoy the MCU, if you enjoy any of the DC stuff, you have this movie to thank for it. Like, this movie was the template. Like, X-Men was like, if Wes Craven's new nightmare was X-Men, then this was Scream. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they
perfected it
with this movie.
Well, yeah, and even then, like, the next year, X-Men 2 had to, like, up the ante because of Spider-Man. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah, if you disagree, if you think Spider-Man fucking sucks, or if you agree with us and you're like, hey, guys, Spider-Man, you hit the nail on the head with this one, you can send your feedback in to us at thesilverliningsplaylist@gmail.com, or you can DM us over on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Just search for the Silver Linings Playlist and you'll find us. And you can also check out our subreddit at reddit.com/r/silverliningsplaylist. If you have a suggestion for a movie you think we should do on the show, you can let us know about that as well. And we ask that you please tell your friends and family and coworkers and everyone within earshot about our show, because it's the best thing you can do for us is just word of mouth.
Definitely.
And the second best thing you can do is subscribe if you haven't already. You get, you know, notifications the second an episode drops, and we only have a few more for this season. In fact, I'm going to look it up. I think we only have like 5 more.
Something like that.
Before we take our break.
I mean, if your best friend's father dies, play this episode at his funeral.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, we have 5 episodes left for the season. So it's gonna be wrapping up real quickly. But I promise you, every episode we got coming up is a fucking banger.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, I have a clue for what we're gonna be talking about next week. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? Before we do that, guys, I gotta tell you a little bit about myself. Ever since I was a boy, I hate and fear little rooms, caves, and closets. I'm terrified. Just so you guys know.
Yeah.
I'm claustrophobic is what I'm trying to say.
It's good to know.
I thought you said little runes, and I was like, oh shit, Halloween 6 revisited.
The power of the runes.
We're going back to where it all started. Halloween 6 again. We're re-upping.
No. No.
No. Little rooms. I'm terrified. So that's all. I just need you guys to know that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else we want to talk about before we get out of here for the week?
This was a delight. I'm so excited to revisit.
I'm glad I had a chance to rewatch it.
Yeah, me too.
I want some turkey.
You know what? This week is Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you have a good one.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Nah, no happy Thanksgiving. It's a stupid fucking holiday.
I disagree. And
enjoy eating.
Yeah, that's the best part. Enjoy eating and starting your Christmas festivities. Don't do it before or you're an asshole.
That's right.
I say that as my wife is currently putting up our Christmas tree, and it's the middle of November. Yeah, my wife.
God damn it, Priscilla.
All right, guys. Well, first of all, rest in peace, Oatmeal and Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
And as always.
Oh, happy birthday, moms.
And moms and grads and dads and everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. As always, we'll meet again, Spider-Man.
In this sea that hero save us.
I'm so high.
Excelsior!
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 Excelsior! Oh. Look it up.